Hey folks, Ben Birch here from White Rose Society. I don't usually interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, so I'll keep this brief. I am currently holding a fund drive to keep White Rose on the air. If you think what I do here is valuable, please visit our homepage at www.whiterosesociety.org and chip in to defray the substantial costs of this service. Thank you very much.
I love the Monterey Peninsula. You've got it all. Mountains, the sea, some of the best box wine I've ever had. You also have a great radio station, KRXA, your progressive prescription. So join me, voice guy extraordinaire Jim Ward, and producer Chris Lavoie as we take back America every weekday morning right here on AM 540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. Floods and fire in the West. So much rain on the northwest coast. There are floods and evacuations, and 22 rivers are expected to flood their banks.
I'm Heather Bosch in Issaquah.
Wow, look at those logs coming down the river. Wow.
Where onlookers marvel at how fast and high Issaquah Creek is rising.
It just shot up.
Dan Ross, manager of the nearby apartments, is filling sandbags. So now, how long have you been doing that?
About 5.5 hours. I'm ready to go to bed.
But the creek isn't even expected to crest until Thursday.
In Colorado, near Boulder, thousands of homes are evacuating because of two fires, both fanned and pushed by high winds. No injuries thus far. And in the eastern Midwest and up into New England, there's a broad swath of ice and freezing rain, and power lines are down, turning out the lights for thousands of people. There is another national salmonella outbreak, 42 states so far, hundreds of people sickened by the same genetic strain of the food poisoning bug.
The CDC is leading this whole investigation, and we're doing case studies where we are tracking what people have eaten and what type of foods they have eaten.
That's James McCurtis at the Michigan Health Department. Whence it came, no one yet knows. On Wall Street, investors were in a selling mood today. The Dow losing 245 points, NASDAQ down 53.
We had a trio of profit warnings from some big heavyweights, Alcoa, the aluminum giant, Intel, the tech giant, and cable giant Time Warner. All of these companies from very different industries saying that the recession is going to put a big dent in their earnings and their profit outlook going forward.
CBS's Alexis Christophorus. The Bush administration is saying what Israel is saying. Stopping the fighting in Gaza is the goal, but not if it simply gives Hamas time to rearm so they can start shooting rockets at Israeli citizens again.
We believe a ceasefire is necessary, but it has to be a ceasefire that will not allow a return to the status quo.
Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice, Israel is proposing a ceasefire, provided Hamas disarm and forget about firing rockets at civilians anymore. A very special gathering of eagles today brought all of the living past presidents together to the White House with outgoing President Bush and incoming President Barack Obama, so they could all talk about the job together and give Mr. Obama encouragement and support.
For me to have the opportunity to get advice, good counsel, and fellowship with these individuals is extraordinary.
Dr. Richard Batista is mighty upset on Long Island, New York.
We were in a $1 million home. I was a full-time surgeon, a full-time father, and a dedicated husband. And I saved a life.
Hers, he says. He gave his wife one of his kidneys. Then he says she went and fooled around on him. Now they're headed for divorce court. He wants to be paid since he can't get the kidney back, $1.5 million. This is CBS News.
Are you looking to hire experienced software and hardware engineers, DBAs, storage engineers, project managers? Then look to Dice.com. For over 17 years, Dice, the number one online technology job board, has focused exclusively on tech jobs. Post your open technology positions on Dice to access the best tech talent, or search through thousands of resumes from qualified engineering and tech professionals from all across the country. Visit Dice.com. Dice.com.
When my husband or kids have sore throats, I know I have the touch that can relieve their pain. It's called the Chloraseptic Touch.
Now moms have new Chloraseptic Maximum Strength Spray. Its targeted nozzle puts the strongest medicine you can get without a prescription right where you need it. Fast relief starts the moment Chloraseptic Max touches your throat. Plus, it coats to protect.
Nothing soothes like a mother's touch and Chloraseptic.
New Chloraseptic Maximum Strength Spray. One touch relief. The Chloraseptic Touch. Use as directed.
With the auto industry retooling, how sticky should the government be about requiring fuel mileage improvements?
Congress passed a law that requires new mileage standards for cars and trucks sold in the U.S. The Department of Transportation had suggested an average of 31.6 miles per gallon by the year 2015, saying that would save billions of gallons of oil. But the automobile industry protests it can't afford the extra cost of meeting new standards. So the Transportation Department now says it'll be up to the Obama administration to decide by the deadline April 1st. Dan Revive, CBS News, Washington.
Harbor seals eat when opportunity presents itself. And so when one young seal managed to get into a fish hatchery in Sandwich, Massachusetts, he went to town on the trout in the tanks. He essentially ate fish until someone spotted him and got him out of there, full to poppin', like Thanksgiving 5 p.m. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Are you a technology professional looking for a new job? Stop wasting time on general job sites, sifting through listings that are not relevant to you. Go to Dice.com. For over 17 years, Dice, the number one technology job board, has focused exclusively on tech jobs. Go to Dice.com to find tens of thousands of jobs all across the country. Software engineers, system administrators, web developers, and more. Visit Dice.com today. Dice.com.
People are feeling it a little more these days. The ows are getting a little more owier, and the uggs are getting just a little uglier. Shoulders and necks are tighter, and when you exercise to work it all out, the soreness can linger. Tiger Balm feels your pain. Stress can make you ache and ugh. Tiger Balm patches and ointments work fast, and they're the powerful way to conquer pain, no matter where it comes from. Go from ow to ah.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Yabba-dabba-doo, we're launching into another fresh show here in the new year. Glad you're with us. However you listen to the Peter B. Collins Show on an AM radio station, on your iPod earbuds, I'm glad to have you with us. Now spread the word. We want to grow exponentially in 2009, and it's all up to you. And a shout out to our new listeners on AM 1510 in Boston. We love being on the air in New England. And you're welcome to participate in this coast-to-coast broadcast whenever you like. My toll-free number is 888-5-PETER-B. And that digitally means 888-573-8372. You got it? And you can always email me. I have an array of email addresses. If you're happy with the work I'm doing, you can send it to humblehost@peterbcollins.com. And should you disagree with your humble host, you can always send it to fullofit@peterbcollins.com. Don't add an SH in there or it just won't get to me. You might have some satisfaction, but I'll never see it. On today's program, we'll talk about Ann Coulter's return and the analysis from Carl Frisch of Media Matters. Later this hour, Jonathan Hafitz will return to our show. He's now with the American Civil Liberties Union. Formerly, he was at the Brennan Center at New York University. He's represented a number of prisoners at Guantanamo Bay. We'll talk about the case of Al Mari, who is a U.S. resident detained without charge. Here he's been tortured. And the big question is, what will the incoming Obama team do about torture, about the existing group of prisoners, often euphemized as detainees? We'll explore that with Jonathan later this hour. Then the red ink in California continues to grow, $41 billion and counting over the next 18 months. Our lieutenant governor, the top Democratic leader in the state, John Garamendi, will join us at the top of the next hour and talk about why the governor has vetoed or terminated the most recent Democratic proposal that's the best yet. It would have raised about $18 billion, and we got a big nine Donka. Well, not even the Donka. It was just nine from Arnold. Also, Tim Carpenter from Progressive Democrats of America will be with us later today. And Bruce Fine,
The conservative Republican who cares about the Constitution. That's where we connect. We're going to talk about his op-ed in Monday's San Francisco Chronicle calling for censure of Cheney and Bush. Of course, Bruce Fein is one of the few Republicans who's called for impeachment of those two goons. But given that the Democrats don't have an appetite for that and it is not likely to happen before Bush departs, he'd like at least to mark the record saying that we disapprove of the unconstitutional power grabs of Bush and Cheney, and I certainly support that. Every week we like to take a look at what's going on in the corporate media, and the people who act as the Truth Squad are at Media Matters for America. Their website, mediamatters.org. And Carl Frisch joins us from Media Matters today. Hey, Carl, welcome.
Hey, Peter, how are you?
I'm doing great today. Happy New Year to you.
To you, too.
And for our listeners, you've been on at least once or twice with us before, but you worked for Louise Slaughter of New York State. She's the only New York congresswoman with a southern accent that I know of.
That's true.
And a really cool lady, at least.
She's great.
I don't know what she's like to work with, but...
Oh, she was wonderful.
Yeah, and she's a real progressive out there fighting for media reform and a lot of critical issues. And you also worked on the other side for Lamar Alexander and John McCain, going back to when he the Straight Talk Express was...
It's a former life.
Not quite off the road, yeah.
Right.
Well, it's okay. I appreciate...
Everybody experiments in their youth.
Well, and you come to your current work with a lot of good experience, knowing how the right wing does manipulate the media.
Sure.
And the techniques that have been used from McCain and all those lobbyists who surrounded him. My only regret is, with that experience, you should have been a co-author with Brock and Waldman on the free ride book earlier this year.
I helped as much as I possibly could.
Okay. Well, good. Good. Well, let's take a look at Ann Coulter, and you've got a powerful clip that I'm going to play part of that's up at MediaMatters.org today. But I wanted to ask you if there were internal discussions at Media Matters about whether there's an option to simply ignore Ann Coulter. Because the stuff she writes is blather. It's very targeted BS. On any close examination, it falls away very quickly. She is a phenomenon of good looks and very hard right, intentionally controversial remarks that she makes whenever she gets a media opportunity. But did you ever consider just ignoring her like we were told to do to the playground bully?
Well, I don't know anybody who ever ignored the bully, and the bully just went, okay, I'm not going to bully you anymore. That was more of a Brady Bunch type fantasy. People say the same stuff about Rush Limbaugh. They say the same stuff about Bill O'Reilly. The fact of the matter is that we take these people very seriously. If we were not there fact-checking Ann Coulter, I don't think it's unfair to reason that the media would not be checking to see if what she's saying is accurate, or challenging her before they had her on. I don't think that we make the controversies that sell her books. I think we offer people who are looking for information the truth, and I think that's important. And I think she's about as tired as that black cocktail dress that she wears on the cover of all these books at this point. But she's going to continue to come out with new books, and we're going to continue to fight back and show people the truth.
Yeah. Well, I do understand, and I think that's your role, and I think that's good. I choose not to invite her on the program. They send me her books. I actually tried to wade through one a couple of years ago.
See, we try to get them in advance of their publication, which is half the fun.
Yeah. And so I think that my listeners don't need to hear her predictable faux controversy where she tries to gin all this stuff up in order to sell her books. But given that Matt Lauer did relent and have her on the Today Show and she's making the rounds, and I'm sure Chris Matthews is going to have her on and then complain about what it was like to have her on.
Exactly.
So I have no real sympathy for the media outlets that bring her on to jack up their ratings and to generate phony controversy and then wring their hands and say, oh, wasn't that awful? But it happens, and I accept that. So give us a little bit of the background of how Ann Coulter built up the pressure on NBC by making it look like they had blacklisted her.
Oh, it's a complete and utter joke. you know, her buddy there, Matt Drudge, helped her, you know, hand in hand. Basically what you had was, you know, she was scheduled to be on the Today Show the day her book came out, on Tuesday, yesterday. And she's been scheduled for over a week, and for over a week, Media Matters had been leading a call-in campaign to NBC, encouraging people to go express their opinions about having Coulter back on the Today Show.
Mm-hmm.
And NBC canceled her for the Today Show, citing that there were pressing world events they thought were more important than Ann Coulter. Heaven forbid, you know, I'm sure Ann Coulter was thinking, what could possibly be more important than hearing myself speak?
Right.
So Matt Drudge goes up and says she's canceled and that she's been banned for life. And he puts it in quotes, you know, to make it really official. And then Ann Coulter tells Hannity on the radio that, you know, she's been banned for life. What she's trying to do there is gin up big controversy.
Well, and her book, this is really interesting and ironic, or at least contradictory. Her book is called Guilty, Liberal Victims and Their Assault on America. And she's building a whole victimology about herself in the media, and she's got access that certainly rivals any liberal author who tries to do the same kind of thing in a different direction.
Well, if your listeners wanted to go look at the nonfiction bestsellers list, there are probably dozens of books, if you take the top 100, that have not been invited on the Today Show, that Sean Hannity isn't drooling over, that haven't been on the early show for CBS,
mm-hmm.
that would merit discussion.
And I'll give you one example. Vincent Bugliosi, the former prosecutor
sure.
who put Manson away, he wrote the book about trying Bush for murder.
Right.
And he, to my knowledge, has still not been invited on the Today Show. He's a best-selling author, and every one of his books, no matter how controversial in the past, they invited him on right around publication date.
He's also a former ADA of L.A., I mean, assistant district attorney, which, what is Ann Coulter? She's a propagandist.
Yeah.
That's it.
Mm-hmm. She does have better legs than Bugliosi, and I've inspected Bugliosi's.
That much I can credit.
Yeah. All right, well, I want to take a break so we have time because I want to play about a two-minute clip of Matt Lauer, and I give him some credit for the way he conducted his exchange with Ann Coulter. And it's just fascinating to hear her play the victim card as she tries to plug her book about liberals who play the victim card.
Right.
Very interesting. We'll continue in just a moment. Carl Frisch with us from Media Matters. Your calls welcome at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And if you're out there, we're still waiting to find out about the voter fraud thing in Florida. You ready to come clean on that?
Our radio show for the whole family. Dysfunctional family. Stephanie Miller on AM 540, KRXA, 6 a.m. weekdays.
Hey, this is Tom Hartman for Dr. Daniel Turner. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry for 35 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place before your first oral examination. He interviews every new patient so he understands what is important to you, and because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street in downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. For all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Looking for a big city dining experience with local ma-and-pop prices and service? Look no further than Jim's American Chinese Restaurant at 8069 San Miguel Canyon Road, Prunedale, just behind Burger King. Stephen Lowe, master chef and co-owner of Jim's American Chinese Restaurant, brings to Prunedale his 35 years of experience in cosmopolitan San Francisco. Stephen serves traditional American and Chinese dishes with subtle, delicious French and Italian influences. Jim's has great meals for $10 to $15. For extraordinary food to die for and prices that won't dent your budget, make it a point to visit Jim's American Chinese Restaurant in Prunedale. Jim's is open Monday through Saturday, 11 to 9, and Sundays, noon to 9. At Jim's, you can dine in or take out. And catering is also available. Call 663-4888. That's 663-4888. To make reservations at Jim's American Chinese Restaurant, call 663-4888. Does it seem like the service is lacking at most service stations? Not at Mid-Valley Valero and Shell on Carmel Valley Road. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell offer complete auto repair, smog inspections, major brand tires, 30, 60, and 90,000 mile service checks, complete brake work, and fix any electrical problems. They even provide environmentally friendly auto detailing. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell use only the highest quality original and aftermarket auto parts. Call Mid-Valley Valero and Shell at 831-624-0722. That's 624-0722. Remember, for all your automobile needs, only Mid-Valley Valero and Shell will do. Locally owned, Mid-Valley Valero and Shell. Putting the service back in service stations.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Reminds you to please drink responsibly.
Peter B. Collins' cavalcade of progressive talk rolls on. We're talking with Carl Frisch, Communications Director at Media Matters on the web, mediamatters.org. And that's where you can find this clip that I'm going to play part of. Matt Lauer must have had to eat a little crow with his pre-show Wheaties today because he once said that, Ann Coulter, if there's something in the news that she has a vital view on, then I think we'd consider having her back. In terms of having her back on just to be outrageous, that probably wouldn't happen. Well, it seems like he was overruled by the smokescreen campaign that she orchestrated with Matt Drudge. And let's listen, because I think Lauer, given the circumstances, did a pretty good job here of needling her about that smokescreen and then about the underlying issues of her victimhood versus the liberal victims that she's lampooning in her newest book. Let's listen. This is the Today Show Today.
Conservative commentator Ann Coulter is a best-selling author and syndicated columnist. Her latest book is Guilty, Liberal Victims and Their Assault on America. Ann, good morning. Nice to have you here.
Good morning. It's great to be here.
I want to talk about Burris in a second, but let me just get to this little controversy. You've been all over the blogs in the last day or so. We canceled your appearance here on Tuesday, and from what I've been reading, you thought you were banned for life from the show. Were you behind that report?
No, I didn't say that. That was from a reliable news report that, by the way, has never had to retract a report on exploding GM trucks.
Now, that's a slam at NBC over the Dateline controversy 9 years ago?
Maybe more.
Yeah. I mean, that's real ancient history, and NBC deserves to pay for that, but this is a neener shot that, well, I think went a little wide.
But I do note that, like NBC.
So we're either dead or you weren't banned.
It apparently took 8 hours for the Today Show to remember that there was a Wednesday show that I could be invited back to. It took the Drudge Report posting that for the Wednesday invitation to appear, but I'm very happy to be here.
You said all kinds of things. That one of the reasons you weren't on the show is because the mainstream liberal media hates conservatives. I mean, you do know that we...
I didn't say that.
Yeah, you did.
Did I say that?
I think it was on Hannity and Combs or something like that.
That the mainstream media hates conservatives?
Yeah.
I didn't say that.
You know that we've had every major conservative...
I have much more colorful language. I mean, you're capturing the thought, that's just not my language.
Do you think, though, that much was made of this and maybe you helped fan the fire here a little bit to make a controversy.
No, I don't think I'd be sitting here now if it hadn't been a headline on Drudge. But let's get to the book,
really?
Because I do want to talk about the book.
But we've had you on so many times in the past after every book. You've always been invited back. Why would you all of a sudden be banned?
Why? I don't know. I mean, that's not for me to answer what your motives are. We traded you out for Tony Blair yesterday.
And I think that's a pretty good switch.
Well, you had more than Tony Blair on for 4 hours.
Yeah, right. But you were in your slot where you were supposed to be yesterday morning was Tony Blair.
And Rachel Maddow and various gossip columnists and a bear.
Afterward.
The point is I was canceled twice, and it wasn't until the Drudge Report ran a headline on its own reporting.
Don't cry. Your makeup will run.
You know what that expression is? Just because you're paranoid doesn't mean you don't have enemies. But anyway, let's get to Roland Burris first.
All right. That's enough of her. But I do give Lauer credit there for exposing the way that she ginned up this controversy about her victimhood.
Well, it's unfortunate they don't do enough research, but, you know, we also posted an item that talks about Drudge Report.
Yes.
When Ann says that Drudge has never been found to be wrong, or he's never had to retract anything.
That's bogus.
Well, he rarely retracts anything, but he has retracted things. He has been wrong. Typically what he does is he just removes it from his website without mentioning it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, just another lie.
Well, and she does get away with that stuff. And, you know, if you put yourself in Matt Lauer's place, if you try to follow each little of those threads, you'll lose control of the interview.
Sure.
And so you can't go tit for tat there, and that wasn't a sexist remark. But, you know, you do have to understand that as an interviewer, you pick your battles and your punches. You don't, deal with every little thing that somebody said.
Well, and like you said before playing the clip, this is a guy who said that he'd only have her on if there were vital issues for her to discuss, and obviously her having a new book is not a vital issue.
So when is Chris Matthews going to have her on, and when will he start wringing his hands about having had her on?
When he's facing the primary voters in Pittsburgh.
That's a good point. So, you know, as we look at this, how do you think that the climate may change going forward? Fox is dropping Combs, who was, not a very effective guy on that show.
But he was their token.
But he was at least a nod that there was another point of view.
Right.
And it appears they're going to go full throttle all right all the time.
Right.
And just to figure that the liberal media will be covering Obama in a favorable way, and it's their job to counter that.
Well, I mean, that's what they think, and it's obviously not true. Anybody who remembers the opening months of the Clinton administration knows what the Obama-Biden administration is in for. Extremely harsh coverage, something that George Bush never had to face in the opening years of his administration, certainly not after 9/11, certainly not after going into Iraq. Not until, after Katrina did he face anything like what other presidents had faced before him. And then even then, it was weak. Ann Coulter is symptomatic of the conservative base in this country, of the people that run the show.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is following on, a leading candidate for Republican Party chairman putting out that Rush Limbaugh song that calls Barack Obama the Magic Negro.
Yeah.
I think it was blogger Oliver Willis, who happens to work in Media Matters, who said it best when he said, if this is a conservative movement and they're wondering how they can get back into power, it's going to be when they stop thinking it's funny to do this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they're a long ways from that.
And, Carl, just one more item here that I plucked, because Media Matters covers things, so, for example, I don't have to hurt myself by listening to Michael Savage.
Right.
His reaction to the pick of Leon Panetta for CIA director was to use a question form. Is it Bill Ayers and his crowd in Chicago who said pick Panetta? He's a man we can trust. Now, that's a very interesting way to try to characterize this nomination, by picking Bill Ayers, who, at least for the right wing, is the most radical available icon that they can link him to. This is just bizarre.
It's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
And the sad thing is it's probably not even the worst thing that Michael Savage has said all week.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you're right about that. Yeah, he didn't get sexist or scatological or talk about borders.
Right.
All right. Well, Carl, thank you very much. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks for having me back.
Carl Frisch, MediaMatters.org. Coming up next, Jonathan Heffetz, now with the ACLU, will join us. We'll talk about the situation at Gitmo, the Almari case, the Obama picks in the Justice Department and elsewhere related to the torture policies. That's next on the Peter B. Collins Show, produced in San Francisco by the amazing Katrina Rill.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
If you love KRXA 540, show your support for our radio station by placing a bumper sticker on the bumper of your vehicle. Click on the bumper sticker at KRXA540.com and think for yourself.
The Osgood Files, sponsored by the American Society of Retina Specialists and Genentech. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. It was a novel idea, another country giving us foreign aid for a change. But it couldn't last. More after this from Charlie.
Thank you, Dave. Did you know that the most common cause of blindness in people age 60 and over is a chronic condition called wet age-related macular degeneration, AMD? Ordinarily, it doesn't happen overnight, although in some cases it can develop rather quickly. It begins with symptoms including wavy lines, hazy vision, and blurriness. So if you're not seeing clearly, see an eye doctor and get checked out right away, because early detection followed by proper treatment by a retina specialist is key. This message is brought to you by the American Society of Retina Specialists and Genentech.
Are you a technology professional looking for a new job? Stop wasting time on general job sites, sifting through listings that are not relevant to you. Go to Dice.com. For over 17 years, Dice, the number one technology job board, has focused exclusively on tech jobs. Go to Dice.com to find tens of thousands of jobs all across the country. Software engineers, system administrators, web developers, and more. Visit Dice.com today. Dice.com.
Since 2005, the government of Venezuela has been providing poor households in 23 states with discounted heating oil.
I'm Joe Kennedy. Help is on the way. Heating oil at 40% off from our friends in Venezuela at Citgo.
Former Congressman Joe Kennedy, Robert Kennedy's eldest son, gave out the oil through his nonprofit energy corporation, Citizens Energy. It was instantly controversial because it was the gift of Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez. There he is, making his bid to be president for life. And it was a gift obviously meant to embarrass the Bush administration for not providing help for poor people who couldn't afford heating oil. Well, as it turned out, we showed him the administration was able to embarrass itself pretty well without his help. And the controversy went away, especially after the price of heating oil went crazy. Heat is heat, even if it comes from a guy who called our president... What was it you called our president?
You are a donkey, Mr. Bush.
Now, anyway, his heating oil worked just fine. But now, the price of oil is down 67%, and with half of Venezuela's budget dependent on oil profits, the chickens are roosting in Caracas, and something has to go. So, no more free oil for us. And presumably, the critics of the program can now step in and prove that we can take care of our own without help from show-offs like Chavez. Although, before I get too sanctimonious, according to the figures, while inflation in Venezuela may be 32% and growth may be down, the government still runs a surplus. A surplus. Hey! Maybe if you can't set his oil anymore, you'd consider, you know, spending your surplus to buy a few treasury bonds paying zero interest?
El señor presidente de los Estados Unidos, a quien yo llamo el diablo.
Not even tempted, huh? The Osgood File, Dave Ross, on the CBS Radio Network.
Can choice be saved? On Thursday, January 22nd, please join Planned Parenthood Marmonte in commemorating the 36th anniversary of the landmark Roe v. Wade decision. Join us for our annual luncheon, Can Obama Save Choice? Attorney Mickey Welsh will address these questions and more. The event will be held at the Hyatt Regency in Monterey on January 22nd from 11:15 to 1:15. Tickets are $25 for students and $35 for general public. For more information and to RSVP, please call Christina at 784-1109, extension 103. That's 784-1109, extension 103.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Sorry about that. I was a few seconds late starting the segment here. Distracted by an email from Senator Dianne Feinstein. Almost fell out of my chair. We'll tell you in a moment. This is a song from Shakira, and my Spanish is kind of limited, but the title is La Tortura. It's about torture. Minutes into the hour. You can join the conversation whenever you like. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Jonathan Hafitz is a longtime contributor to this program, an attorney who was formerly at the Brennan Center for the Law at New York University, where he started representing various prisoners and others caught up in the American gulag. And he is now affiliated, he joined the American Civil Liberties Union midway through this past year. Jonathan, welcome back to our program today.
Oh, good to be here.
Nice to talk with you again. And I just alluded to, I was a little late coming back from the break because I got an email from the office of Senator Dianne Feinstein about some legislation she's proposing regarding our torture policies in Guantanamo Bay. I'll get to that in a couple of minutes. I wanted to first ask you for your reaction to the recent round of nominations. Leon Panetta as CIA director, a man who has very publicly criticized the torture and detention policies of the Bush administration. Dawn Johnson from Indiana University to head the Office of Legal Counsel. She also has been very critical in very sharp terms about the torture policies and about the shoddy legal work by people who will likely be described as her predecessors, Jay Bybee and John Yoo, among others, in that very important but obscure office, the Office of Legal Counsel. In addition, he named Elena Kagan, the dean of the Harvard Law School, as Solicitor General, and Thomas Pirelli as Associate Attorney General. When you look at this team, it does appear that Dean Kagan has kind of a blank slate in terms of these issues, but most of the rest of them have been extremely outspoken and critically of Bush policies in this arena. How do you respond?
Well, I think it's certainly these are all very, very highly qualified and outstanding, you know, individuals, and it's very optimistic that they were all, you know, appointed to these positions. And so I think that, hopefully that the what will happen and what will be put in place will be a reversal from the Bush administration's national security policies and kind of defiance of the rule of law.
Mm-hmm. And in particular, Don Johnson at OLC, does that give you a great sense of encouragement?
Certainly, a very, very, you know, outstanding person, and so I think it's it is certainly a hopefully we'll see the what we're expecting to see in this reversal from the past and illegal detention and torture and the whole policies of the Bush administration.
Mm-hmm. And let me pull it out here. It was January 3rd, last Saturday. The New York Times front page story detailed the case of Ali Al-Mari. You and I have discussed his situation before. And it was framed around the idea of, okay, what will the Obama administration do? How will it deal with the legacy of the torture policies, the divergence from international treaties, and the Military Commissions Act, which was an obscene approval by the Congress of some of the power grabs and unconstitutional behavior imposed on us by Bush and Cheney? Do you see a strong likelihood that they'll go beyond overturning these policies to actually hold accountable the people who put in place what I consider to be criminal policies?
Well, that's the hope. I think I think we need more than just an ending of the illegal policies. There needs to be a
accountability, as you say, for these people who broke the law, particularly with, for example, authorizing torture committed in the United States to a state-sanctioned policy of torture at the highest levels of government. And I think there needs to be a criminal investigation into this.
Mm-hmm. You think there will be?
I don't know whether there will be. I think it's certainly not. I think it's certainly possible, but it's unclear at this point.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I want to keep the pressure on because I think a lot of people are in kind of a celebration mode, just relief that the worst of the excesses will be behind us, and I'm encouraged to that degree. But it's not enough for me, Jonathan. I want my Fourth Amendment rights back, and I want full disclosure, if not accountability. I want full disclosure of who has been responsible for these departures from constitutional rule.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that if we're going to really move beyond the torture culture that's been created, we have to not just look forward, but look backward and create accountability for what happened.
Mm-hmm. Now, you are more of a policy and legal guy, and you don't have to go into the politics of this any more than you want to. I've never been a big fan of Senator Dianne Feinstein. I've known her since she was the mayor of San Francisco back in the mid-1980s. And she's too conservative for me, and particularly on these critical issues of detention policies and the illegal wiretapping program. Senator Feinstein has been a leader of trying to paper over the lawbreaking of the Bush team and find ways to, legalize the wiretapping under a broad interpretation of FISA and efforts like that. So I've been very critical of her, and it amused me that she got her bloomers in a big bunch over not being consulted on the nomination of Leon Panetta as CIA director. We know that she was promoting the candidacy of Steve Kappas, a second-level guy at CIA, who was part of the rendition policies and the detention policies and the torture policies that have been in effect these last 6 or 7 years. So it came as a surprise, and that's why I was late coming back from the break to bring you on the program, Jonathan, because this email came in from the senator's press office, and she is proposing what is called the Lawful Interrogation and Detention Act of 2009, and it's described with these four key provisions. It requires the closure of the detention facilities at Guantanamo within 1 year, and all individuals held at Gitmo must be either charged with crimes and tried in the U.S. through the federal criminal justice or the military justice system. Alternately, transferred to an international tribunal if one has jurisdiction to hold trials for such individuals, or transferred back to their native country or to the custody of another country. If the other options can't be followed and the individual is determined to pose no security threat, they would be released or held in accordance with the law of armed conflict. And additionally, it requires the CIA and all other intelligence agencies to use only the 19 specific interrogation techniques in the Army Field Manual. It prohibits the CIA from using private contractors to conduct interrogations of detainees. And it requires the intelligence community to notify the International Committee of the Red Cross of any detainees being held and to provide access by the ICRC to those detainees. You perhaps are hearing this for the first time, Jonathan, but does this sound like reasonable legislation, or are there loopholes in there? For example, the one-year deadline to close Guantanamo seems overly generous to me.
I think it is too, yeah, absolutely. I think it is just too long. I mean, this has to be done, this should be done right away. I think they've had, people have been locked up for more than 7 years there, and it's just time. I think administration has criminal charges. They need to bring those, and the rest of the people need to be returned.
Mm-hmm. And how long would that take? Giving, just being generous about it, we have less than 250 individuals being detained there, and really, less than two dozen appear to be what they have called high-value prisoners. So couldn't we, based on the outline here, either charge and try these people or release them? Isn't it as simple as that?
I think that's right. I think that's exactly right. I mean, that's like what has to happen. And has to happen, immediately. I think the commissions need to be shut down, the military commissions, and, that should be done day one. And then the immediate process of charging or releasing the detainees.
Mm-hmm. Anything else in here that you support or are critical of?
Well, I think the different categories of, people, I mean, I think, I need to study it further, but there are some things I think that, there do seem some concerning pieces of it in terms of different categories of detainees that it would have.
Okay. Jonathan Haffitz with us from the American Civil Liberties Union. If you have a question or comment, you can call us now, toll-free, at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. So what is the current status of Al-Mari?
Well, our the Supreme Court has agreed to hear his petition for review, so the case will be heard this term. We will be filing our brief on January 21st. After that, the government will respond, and the court will hear the case this term, and will decide whether, in fact, president has the authority to order the military to seize and detain persons in the United States, including American citizens.
Yeah. And to be very clear, Al-Mari is a legal resident of the United States, not a citizen.
That's correct. But the administration's position does not turn on that, and they've argued the court below held that American citizens could be detained as well, and that's what the government's argued.
Yeah, and I'm equally concerned about that. I just want to be clear that Al-Mari is not a full U.S. citizen.
No, he's a legal resident. He was arrested at his home and was detained. Was about to go to trial. Was held in a federal jail, and then on the eve of trial, he was just swooped away and put into a military jail where he's been held without criminal charge.
Yeah, he's at the brig in Charleston still.
Yeah, he still is.
And when was the last time you or other attorneys had contact with him? Do you know?
We saw him. I saw him last month, and we are able to speak with him on the phone. But unfortunately, that's the only communication he has with the outside world. He's virtually the only communication. They refuse to allow his son and his brothers to see him. They only allow him now two calls a year with his family, and he is in total isolation at the brig. So
two calls,
it's a very, very difficult situation. Yes,
two calls a year.
Yeah, even it's outrageous.
Oh man. And they probably have to be collect calls at those $3 a minute rates, right?
I mean, yeah, right.
They have to add that little insult.
That I don't know. It's outrageous, though.
Uh-huh.
It would, yeah.
And given that you can't be in the same room with him, but you talk to him on the telephone, is it one of those glass window things where you can see him?
No, we now have contact visits.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Yes.
And how would you describe his mental state?
I think it's been, I think he's had a very tough time, and I think, hopefully he is, it's deteriorated. The isolation has really taken its toll on him.
And do they continue to give him the full throttle that they did Jose Padilla, which was, just to go to the dentist, they put headphones and blinders on and,
they still do that.
That whole treatment?
That's policy. They still do that. They don't interrogate him. And, in fact, the brig staff treat him quite very well. They think they feel very badly for him. The problem, the real problems that remain in terms of his conditions are things that the brig staff doesn't have any control over, the phone calls, the fact that it takes 7 or 8 months for them to clear his mail with his family, things like that. Those decisions are made in Washington, and that's why we have those harsh circumstances still in place.
Jonathan Haffitz is with us, attorney with the ACLU. We're talking about the situation at Guantanamo and elsewhere. And you can join us in the next segment, toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. More in a moment, right here on the Peter B. Collins Show, now live in Boston on AM 1510. KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Visit our website at krxa540.com.
Hi, this is Cynthia.
And this is Paul at the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore.
Have you heard about the events at Pilgrim's Way in the Secret Garden? Maybe too late?
Our events include workshops, lectures, and book signings by recognizable and well-known authors locally, nationally, and internationally on a wide range of topics.
Don't miss another chance. You can receive Pilgrim's Way event announcements personally by going to pilgrimsway.com and click on Events to subscribe to the private email service listed. An event calendar is also posted on the Pilgrim's Way community bulletin board inside the bookstore for your convenience. Support independence. Come in and pick up a free KRXA bumper sticker. We're on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in downtown Carmel.
Or give us a call at 624-4955.
The patient's not responding to the treatment.
I know. That imaginary jingle telling him to go where again?
Coffeetopia.
I've seen this condition before. It is very contagious.
What happened?
Nothing really. Everyone had a cup of coffee and a bagel. Speaking of which, let's go have a cup.
Where should we go?
Coffee, coffee, coffeetopia.
What was that?
And so, it begins again.
For the best coffee, tea, or smoothies in the Monterey Bay Area, visit Coffeetopia. With three locations in Santa Cruz, 3701 Portola Drive near Pleasure Point, 1723 Mission Street on the west side, and the newest Coffeetopia at 1443 Capitola Road in the Live Oak area. Coffeetopia is also the oldest internet cafe in Santa Cruz, with wireless and by-the-minute computer stations. Other places use ice as fillers for their smoothies, but not Coffeetopia. They use all fruit and juices when making their delicious smoothies, and they also feature tropical, high-energy acai smoothies, bagels, and fresh baked goods.
Coffee, coffee, Coffeetopia.
Cornucopia Landscaping in Santa Cruz is a complete design, installation, and maintenance company. Cornucopia Landscaping specializes in water-saving gardens which retain a lush appearance. You can have fruit trees, grapevines, fresh vegetables, and many beautiful ornamental plants while using very little water. In fact, an entire Cornucopia Landscaping garden sips only as much water in a season as a lawn of equal size gulps down in 1 week. Drip irrigation is the key to a water-saving garden. Are you looking for a beautiful flagstone pathway? Cornucopia Landscaping builds decks, patios, arbors, fences, retaining walls, planter boxes, and many other custom-built wooden structures. Serving Santa Cruz County since 1996. For more information or consultation, call Davis at 831-335-1209. That's 335-1209. That number again is 335-1209.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. Stay tuned for news later this month about how we're going to exponentially expand our live streaming capabilities. We continue with Jonathan Heffetz, attorney with the American Civil Liberties Union, talking about the prospects for serious change at Guantanamo, the detention and interrogation policies. We know what Obama has articulated. How will he implement those campaign promises? Let's talk to Bob, who's listening online in Georgia today. Hello, Bob. You're on the air.
Thank you, Peter. Yeah, I was just going to make a statement and get y'all's opinion on it, but I don't know whether you call it the Pinter on Democracy Now! When he gave his Nobel acceptance speech.
Uh-huh.
Did you happen to catch that?
I did not.
It was a pretty, you should, must see, but it's about the empire and everything, and what the corporations look like they've done is they've just switched horses. You know, they saw this coming. They gave us the Keith Olbermann and Matt Al. And they switched over to the Democrats. And this smooth transition is nothing but just going to be the same old, you know, just slowly get into the same old rut, you know?
Well, I don't think we're going to see radical change. I don't think we're going to see revolutionary change. But we saw radical behavior imposed on us by a regime that was not even elected with a mandate, okay? I mean, these people stole two elections in a row, in my opinion, and then acted like they had the support of 80% of the American public. And so to the extent that we are ending the radical neocon policies, I think that's progress. But you're going to hear me on a daily basis continue to prod Obama and his team to move in a more progressive direction, to move beyond just stopping the negative behaviors and correcting the problems and building on that to a series of fundamental changes that I think are really important. Do I expect miracles or things to happen quickly? No. But I think we have a chance for improvement here, as incremental as it might be. So I am both idealistic and cynical all at the same time in this one happy bald package, Bob.
Well, hope you're right in being optimistic and all this. But I just see these corporations just have a hole, and I just can't see them letting go.
All right, let's get Jonathan's comment.
Did you read Melville's Confidence Man, one of his brilliant books?
You know, I have
it's
not.
Almost, it's almost like Obama could have been on that boat, like one of the con men. You know, mm-hmm. It's stuff to me. He's not a corporate hack, the way I see it.
All right, Bob, let's get a comment from Jonathan. Go ahead, Jonathan.
Well, I would, you know, agree, Peter. I think it's going to be, there's certainly going to be positive changes made, I think. But, I think some pressure needs to be put on because I think there's a lot to be done, and I think a little is just not going to be enough.
Well, and your colleague, Caroline Fredrickson, was on with us back in November with, I believe, an 84-page agenda for the restoration of constitutional rule in this country. And just the sheer volume of that suggests how much work there is to be done, and that we can't relax and just say, okay, he's put some decent people in at justice, everything's going to be okay. For example, I wanted to get your comment on the convictions of the Fort Dix crew, because this is another case where our government did not prove a substantive conspiracy or plot, yet by using a tainted but paid government informant who often acts as the provocateur in these groups, they were able to win conspiracy convictions that I find to be very flimsy. And we've seen this pattern repeated with the Lodi Mosque case, the Lackawanna case in New York, upstate New York, and also the crew in Miami. All of these featured a paid FBI informant who was leading these people into criminal activities.
Yes, I think there are, this raises a lot of questions about, the contact. I mean, I think we will see more of this now if, a lot of the problems have been focused on the military detentions and enemy combatant detentions, and I think some of the issues that rise in the criminal justice context have been overlooked, and some of the conduct in the prosecution, I think that is unquestionably the way that the cases need to be treated, and hopefully that's what the administration will do, but on the other hand, I think there'll be some focus on how those cases are conducted.
Yeah, and Jonathan, there is so much work to be done to repair the damage of the Patriot Act, to try to rein in the FBI, which under Justice Chief Mukasey articulated these new rules that went into effect December 1st. They are essentially no-knock rules that allow an FBI agent to say, oh, I don't need a warrant. I've got cause here, and I'm just going to break in or arrest a person or interrogate a person. And I'm very uncomfortable with the creeping police state that is reflected by these various policies.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that there is a lot of that out there. I think the provisions you identify are very problematic, and along with issues around surveillance and the basics of privacy rights and government overreaching. And, I think that we need to really keep the focus on those, as well, even after Guantanamo is closed and some of those issues are dealt with and we don't torture people anymore. There's still a lot of important civil liberties issues that need to be addressed.
Well, and yesterday we spoke with John Eisenberg, the Oakland attorney who's representing the Al Haramain charity group. And they're in this catch-22 with the government where they know that their clients were illegally wiretapped. They had the evidence that the FBI inadvertently gave them, and the court shut them out with the state secret privilege assertions by the government. But Judge Vaughn Walker, to his credit, has admitted some evidence that was in the public domain, an admission from a secondary FBI official. Oh, yeah, we monitored those people.
Yeah.
And Judge Walker has taken the unusual step of ordering the government to give Attorney Eisenberg a top secret security clearance. So that he, because a year ago or maybe a little longer, he was in this bizarre Kafka zone, Jonathan, where he was told that he could write responses to government briefs that he was not permitted to see.
Yeah, it was. Kafka is the right word. It is really the it's the worst features of a national security state. I mean, fortunately, the examples like that are not many, but it is some of the worst, things you associate with, almost totalitarian type of regimes. I'm not saying that that's how the entire country is run, but those instances that you really come up with this kind of naked assertions of kind of lawless power.
Yeah. And if you've got a long list of clients and things to work on there, Jonathan, But just for my money, please add Sabelle Edmonds or move her up a few notches on the list there, because she was gagged by John Ashcroft more than 4.5 years ago, and she has information that she really wants to give us about misdeeds in the FBI, in the translation, and material that came up in documents that she translated that showed criminal activity by top State Department officials of a treason nature. And we can't turn a blind eye to this. We can't allow state secret privilege to be used to gag people who are whistleblowers who really have an important story to tell.
Absolutely not. I mean, we'll continue to fight, and we've represented her before, and we'll continue to fight for that.
Yeah, very good. Well, Jonathan, Happy New Year to you, and I'm hoping for the best, but we will continue to fight for what we need.
Okay, great. Thanks so much, Peter.
All right, Jonathan Hafitz at the ACLU, the American Civil Liberties Union. Coming up next, California's Lieutenant Governor on our budget mess. It's going to be a lively conversation. Stay tuned.
Has your computer been slowing down? Are you having problems with your email? Or when you go to the Internet, is your browser taking so long to load that it seems like the worldwide wait? I'm Luke Ford, CEO of My Computer Works. We help people just like you with computer problems you can't fix. With one easy call, we can help you get your computer working the way you want it, speeding it back up, making sure you can send and receive emails, and making the Internet fun again. You'll speak to a U.S.-based technician who knows what they're doing, who can usually fix your computer on the very first call. If your computer's been slowing down, you can't get your email to work, your Internet's taking forever, or if you're not sure what's wrong, but your computer's just not working the way you want it, call My Computer Works, and we'll help you fast.
Call My Computer Works right now, toll-free, 888-629-9618. Tell them Peter B. sent you, 888-629-9618. One more time.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
A diplomatic push to end the fighting in Gaza.
We believe a ceasefire is necessary, but it has to be a ceasefire that will not allow a return to the status quo.
Roland Burris might get his Senate seat after all.
My whole interest in this experience has been to represent my great state.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. After a 3-hour lull to allow delivery of food and medical supplies, deadly clashes between Israeli forces and Hamas resumed. CBS News correspondent Robert Berger reports from Jerusalem.
The fighting has now moved to southern Gaza on the Egyptian-Gaza border. There's heavy bombing by the Air Force, and the military dropped leaflets there telling people to leave. This is an area known for weapons smuggling, and about 800 families have left their homes.
With the Palestinian death toll approaching 700, a ceasefire might be within reach. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice at the UN Security Council is backing a proposal from Egypt and France and says she's talking to Arabs and Israelis about the importance of moving the initiative forward.
We're also talking about how the council can best support the effective action that could be taken on the ground.
The Egyptian ambassador says representatives of Israel, the Palestinians, and Hamas will meet in Cairo tomorrow for technical discussions. Now this.
Two drivers, two very different stories heading home on a dark evening.
I hit the open road.
I hit the open road.
A deer popped out of nowhere. I panicked.
I saw a deer in the road. I slowed down.
I jerked the wheel. I wish I could have seen it.
I drove around it and was home before the next song on the radio.
With Silver Star headlights from Sylvania, you'll see more of the road ahead. Remember, headlights dim over time. Replace them before you are left in the dark. Visit your automotive retailer and choose the whitest, brightest light. Silver Star headlights from Sylvania.
Reason number 48 to switch to Geico.
As much as you enjoy the experience, you won't have to go to the post office. We can automatically debit your checking account or even charge a premium to your credit card. It's easy and you never have to worry about mailing your car insurance premium again. But we must warn you, you won't get to use any postage stamps. I hear they're coming out with some pretty cool designs.
For a free rate quote, visit Geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
The man appointed by Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich to finish Barack Obama's Senate term made major progress today in his effort to be seated. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss reports.
What a difference a day makes. Yesterday, Roland Burris tried to become a senator and was rebuffed. Today, he emerged all smiles from a meeting with Senate leaders.
So I'm very pleased this afternoon I'm happy.
Senate Leader Harry Reid laid out a process to get the paperwork straightened out and have the Rules Committee and Senate consider Burris's case.
We don't have a problem with him as an individual.
Their problem is with Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich, charged with trying to sell the seat vacated by President-elect Barack Obama. Burris says that didn't involve him.
There was certainly no pay-to-play involved because I only have no money.
He says he expects to be a senator shortly. Senate leaders are clearly laying the groundwork for that to happen. Bob Fuzz, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
When it leaked out that Mr. Obama has picked former White House Chief of Staff Leon Panetta to head the CIA, incoming Senate Intelligence Committee Chairwoman Dianne Feinstein complained that she hadn't been consulted and said she favored someone with a background in intelligence. But after talking with Panetta, Feinstein says she's reassured and believes he'll surround himself with top-notch staff from the intelligence community. Every man alive who knows firsthand what it's like to be president gathered at the White House today for lunch with the president-elect. CBS News correspondent Peter Mayer.
It will be a picture for the history books, George W. Bush and Barack Obama with their predecessors in front of the massive desk in the Oval Office.
All of us who have served in this office understand that the office itself transcends the individual.
The president-elect called it an extraordinary gathering.
All the gentlemen here understand both the pressures and possibilities of this office.
An Obama spokesman said President Bush and the former presidents shared helpful management advice and thoughts on critical issues. Barack Obama plans to stay in touch with the other members of the exclusive presidential club. Peter Mayer, CBS News, the White House.
Since September, salmonella food poisoning has sickened at least 388 people in 42 states. Lola Russell is a spokeswoman at the Centers for Disease Control.
We're working to identify the specific contaminated foods or food that has been causing this outbreak and still ongoing. The potential source for this outbreak is unknown at this point.
She says this particular strain is most common in poultry, cheese, and eggs. Ahead of the Labor Department's December unemployment report due Friday, a private report today says 693,000 jobs were lost last month. That shook the stock market. The Dow dropped 245 points to close at 8769. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Are you looking to hire experienced software and hardware engineers, DBAs, storage engineers, project managers? Then look to Dice.com. For over 17 years, Dice, the number one online technology job board, has focused exclusively on tech jobs. Post your open technology positions on Dice to access the best tech talent. Or search through thousands of resumes from qualified engineering and tech professionals from all across the country. Visit Dice.com. Dice.com.
When my husband or kids have sore throats, I know I have the touch that can relieve their pain. It's called the Chloraseptic Touch.
Now moms have new Chloraseptic Maximum Strength Spray. Its targeted nozzle puts the strongest medicine you can get without a prescription right where you need it. Fast relief starts the moment Chloraseptic Max touches your throat. Plus, it coats to protect.
Nothing soothes like a mother's touch and Chloraseptic.
New Chloraseptic Maximum Strength Spray. One touch relief. The Chloraseptic Touch. Use as directed.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Later this hour, we'll talk with Tim Carpenter from Progressive Democrats of America. How to keep the Obama team on a progressive tack. And next hour, Republican Bruce Fine says censure Bush. Joining me now is the top Democratic statewide elected official in California. He is Lieutenant Governor John Garamendi, an announced candidate for governor in the next cycle. John, how are you today?
Peter B., I am very, very well, and I'm actually in the Monterey Bay area today, and boy, what a day this is. Wow, beautiful. How beautiful.
Well, great. A shout-out to all our listeners at KRXA 540, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz, and the station is licensed to Carmel Valley, which is the home of the next director of the Central Intelligence Agency. How about that?
Exactly, and what an interesting and good choice that Obama made.
Yeah, I'm pleased by it. At first, I was a little surprised, and it took me a while to absorb it, but I'm pleased that an outsider with his credentials, a man who's trusted by members of both parties, will be there to try to reform and rein in the excesses of the last two terms.
Well, there's certainly things to be done, aren't there?
Yeah.
You know, that that whole agency, and in fact, the entire intelligence community really needs a lot of attention.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of attention.
What do you think about Senator Salazar taking over your old department there, the Interior Department?
Well, I'm very, very hopeful. I'm optimistic. He has the right background. He certainly knows the issues. And he's in a position to really change what's been a disaster zone under the Republican administration. I spent a little more than 3 years of my life, and Bruce Babbitt and Clinton and his crew and Gore spent 8 years of their lives really improving the management of our natural resources, national parks, fish and wildlife, and endangered species and so forth. And then the next 8 years of the Bush administration, they did their best to unravel everything we did.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's a bit ironic because some of the worst people at Interior have come from Colorado. Gail Norton, James Watt, Ann Burf. Wow. It goes too far back to the Reagan era. Bursich or Burford? Anyway, they all came out of Rocky Mountain Legal Foundation, which is a resource extractor think tank.
Exactly right.
Ann Gorsuch Burford. That was her name. My apology.
Well, I saw her picture, and I know her reputation.
Uh-huh.
And we're going to do much better. It's very, very clear that we're on a track that is to get back to what we really must do and need to do, and that is to set in place the long-term use and ability of our natural resources to be there for future generations, both in their beauty as well as in their usefulness.
Mm-hmm.
Everything from forests to national parks. It can be done. And we're on the right track. We're on the right track here. I'm very, very optimistic, not only with Salazar, but also with the other appointments that have been made in the environmental area.
Mm-hmm.
Many of these folks I worked with when I was in Washington, they're good people, they're smart, they're intelligent. They're balanced. They understand that there's a balance in all of this, but they're also committed to protecting the environment and looking to the long term. And we've got this enormous challenge of climate change, which is, you know, difficult, but it's something that we have to deal with. And I had the good fortune when I was there to be part of the Gore team that put together the American agenda for the Kyoto Climate Change Conference.
Mm-hmm.
A wonderful opportunity to learn and to experience what we must do, of what will happen if we don't do what we must do to deal with climate change and greenhouse gases.
John Garamendi with us, California's Lieutenant Governor. John, we spoke in September about the time when I was sending my quarterly contribution into Sacramento. I'm a small business owner, self-employed, so I file these quarterly payments. And once again, the payment that I'm making this year is about one-fifth of the payment I made just last year. And if that's any indication, we're on a downward slope in terms of revenues coming into Sacramento. And the gridlock remains as the governor yesterday vetoed the package that I find questionable but the best available under the circumstances that allows revenue enhancements without quote-unquote tax increases that require the two-thirds margins. So the governor seems to be unable to accept the help that Democrats are trying to provide to get him past the recalcitrance of his own party members in the legislature.
You're right on track. I'm absolutely flabbergasted. I don't understand what the governor's thinking here. We have a huge problem. He goes around the entire state saying the sky is falling, and indeed it is. And then when that opportunity to address that comes up, he picks some minor, inconsequential matters and says, you're not doing it the way that I want it done, and therefore I'm going to veto this. He didn't say he was going to veto the revenue portions of this proposal, but some issues that are really tangential to the state's immediate needs. He says these are economic stimulus issues. Well, in a sense they are, but they're not critical economic stimulus issues. The critical economic stimulus issue is the California state budget deficit. And the proposal put before him that he vetoed dealt with that. It was the first step, not the final step, but the first step in what we're going to have to do. And why did he veto it? It makes no sense to me. I don't understand. I think he made a terrible mistake. Now we've got to go back, either redo it the same way with minor modifications or major. We don't know. What in the world is this man thinking?
Now, John Garamendi, recently I talked to one of the few Republicans in the state who, A, understands the fiscal realities, and, B, is willing to talk about tax increases. And it's a guy you may face in the governor's race in 2010, Tom Campbell. Tom was a member of Congress. He was a law professor at Stanford, dean of the business school at Berkeley, spent a year as Schwarzenegger's director of finance. And he reluctantly comes to the position as a low-tax Republican that this is an emergency and that we cannot maintain phony pledges to Grover Norquist and that we cannot pretend that we can cut our way to a balanced budget. What kind of reaction have you heard in the Capitol to the arguments presented by Tom Campbell? He appears to be the lone Republican, at least in public office or public life, willing to take a relatively courageous stand like that.
Well, I'm pleased to hear that. I've known Tom Campbell for many, many years, and I think he's a very good person, and I have high regard for him. However, in a debate that we had at in Silicon Valley about 2 or 3 months ago, he was a no-tax person. I'm pleased to hear that he's become a realist and that we really have to deal with this. And frankly, he's following in the footsteps of our governor, who has in midsummer last year accepted the reality that we had to have revenues. So indeed, we do have to have revenues. Now we can debate back and forth how much and what and where do the revenues come from, and we should debate that because there are ways we could raise tax revenue that would act on the economy. And in fact, I selected one of them. His cent and a half increase on the sales tax, I think, is too much. I think he did adopt one suggestion that I made to him, and that is to broaden the sales tax. That's good. So what do I hear in Sacramento? I hear the Republicans say no and hell no and we won't go, and it's in the exact same position they've been in for so very long, and that is no new taxes. That is irresponsible. It is totally irresponsible and very, very harmful to the state of California. Hopefully that will change. Hopefully we can be able to peel off a few of those Republican naysayers and get this thing done. And frankly, that's the task of the governor. He should be talking to his own party members and persuading them, at least a few of them, to vote in a rational way to deal with the very real problems that this state has.
And, John, the $18 billion package vetoed by the governor, let's call it the Bass-Steinberg package, it was an end run because the way it's designed, it raises revenue without, quote-unquote, increasing taxes, therefore can be done with a majority vote and not a two-thirds vote. Do you think that's legal?
I think it is. In most of its aspects, it is legal. It's very clear that fees do not require a two-thirds vote. That's a majority vote for fees. And the way in which it was structured, we're really talking about fees. The overall result of it is an increase in revenue to the state of California from fees.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it is. Now, clearly, that proposal, should it have been signed by the governor, would be challenged in court. And that, who knows where the resolution would be from the courts as those cases are heard. But I think it's a wake-up call for all of us that it's a serious, serious problem for the state of California. We need the revenues. Yes, there are going to be cuts. They're going to be difficult and in many cases harmful to certain parts of the California society and economy. But at the same time, you cannot do nothing. Nothing is totally acceptable. The Republicans put forth a all-cuts budget that, on its face, was foolish. Just what in the world are you guys thinking? It was foolish, if not, and absurd, and it went nowhere. Even in their own caucus, they couldn't get the votes for that all-cuts budget. So it has to be balanced, and that's what was put forward.
All right, we're going to take a break and return with California Lieutenant Governor John Garamendi. He's with us for another segment. So if you have a question or a comment or a suggestion on how to break the deadlock in Sacramento, bring it on now. Toll free, it's 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. You're in tune with the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Hey, this is Tom Hartman for Dr. Daniel Turner. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry for 35 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place before your first oral examination. He interviews every new patient so he understands what is important to you, and because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street in downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. For all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, inexpensive Mandarin and Cantonese food prepared to order every day. The May family invites you to savor their authentic Chinese dishes and tasty soups like congee and wonton noodle. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.75 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget Jim's is tops for takeout and catering too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service has two locations to serve you better wherever you live. Both locations feature full-service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Juan specializes in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for fast, friendly, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service, now located in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road in Soquel Drive in Aptos Village, across from the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Give Juan a call at 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Don't forget to ask Juan how KRXA listeners can save an additional 10% at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Wide open Robinson for a three off the inbound. Two for two, Nikki Robinson. Four on three up the left side. Jamal Boykin, the open floor. Goes in and Vidy and scores.
This is the voice of the Golden Bears, Roxy Bernstein, inviting you to join us for another exciting season of Cal basketball right here on your home for the Bears.
The Golden Bears are on the bus to Washington State this Thursday for a 7 p.m. tip-off. Hear it on KRXA 540, your home station for Cal basketball.
Good
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Thea Kareem with your KRXA 540 AM traffic and weather report. Currently, we have one incident in Santa Cruz on Route 9 at Glen Arbor Road. We have a moving roadway hazard. Otherwise, traffic is looking pretty good out there. We are problem-free in Monterey County right now and in Hollister-Gilroy. So enjoy your commute. And weather, your forecast for this afternoon is mostly clear, with temperature highs in the upper 50s and lows in the lower 40s. On Thursday, we're looking at partly to mostly cloudy skies with a slight chance of rain. Highs will be around 60 degrees. Here's some temperatures right now. Currently in Monterey, it's 57 degrees, Salinas is 62 degrees, and Santa Cruz is 63. Have a great afternoon. That's your traffic and weather on AM 540. The Peter B. Collins Show is coming right back.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show.
They're closing all the libraries. They're closing all the libraries. They're closing all the libraries. A lot of hello doors. They're closing all the libraries. Doubling my parking fees. They're building prisons in old schoolyards.
Sacramento singer-songwriter Richard Marks with our official theme for the California budget crisis. They're closing all the libraries. John Garamendi with us, California's lieutenant governor and an announced candidate for the Democratic nomination to succeed Schwarzenegger in a year and a half. And, John, when we look at the gridlock and the need for a two-thirds vote, when we look at the up-and-down revenue stream that comes into Sacramento, all of those roads lead to Proposition 13. Yet it is a third rail for both political parties. They know the polling numbers. But don't we have an opportunity here, with California home values dropping significantly, that we could amend Proposition 13, remove the two-thirds requirement to pass a budget or to increase taxes, and we could do it without pushing people out of their homes with some huge increases in property tax?
Well, two things are mixed up in that question. Let me take them apart one by one. The two-thirds vote for the budget and for tax increases is it's an anchor around California's neck, and it really must change. We're one of only three states in the nation that have that requirement, and it really makes it impossible. It basically established minority rule.
Yes.
Which is it is clearly un-American.
Mm-hmm.
But that's where we are. The other issue about Prop 13, obviously the third rail of politics. There are things that can be done with 13, but I'd like to put it in the context of a broader question about the overall tax system in the state of California. You almost said it when the tax system in California is antiquated.
Mm-hmm.
It does not reflect the nature of the economy today. We've seen a dramatic change in the economy from one of hard goods, where, you know, cars and tables and chairs and hard goods, to one of a service economy. And most of the economy today is not subject to taxation. You've got other anomalies, such as if I were to stop here at this store, in Watsonville, where I am at the moment, and buy a computer program, I pay a tax.
Mm-hmm.
If I sit here in the car and I turn my computer on and get on the Wi-Fi and download a computer program, the same computer program, I don't pay a tax.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got these anomalies that don't reflect the modern economy, and we really need to address that. Now, the governor last year, almost at this time, said we've got to have a tax commission to look at all of this. The legislature agreed, and to this day, a year later, that commission has not met. And you go, what do you mean they haven't met? We've got a tax problem. We've got to figure out how best to raise the revenues. Should we change 13? How could we do it? How do we deal with the sales tax? Do we broaden it or not? On and on and on. The commission hasn't met. You go, what in the world are people doing in this? What's the governor up to?
Mm-hmm.
You want a commission? Then for heaven's sakes, get it going. And we need that information now.
Well, I certainly, you know, don't disagree with you there. I still maintain that until we address the inequities that have been locked in by Prop 13, such as the fact that corporate properties don't get reappraised or reassessed when a corporation changes hands, even though when individuals do the same thing, their taxes go up. And so I would like to see a commission, if we have one and it actually meets, address those issues. We also should be looking at the vehicle tax, because that was a very progressive form of taxation for Californians that was rejected for political gain by Governor Schwarzenegger on his first day in office, and that's a simple situation that could be turned around in a very short period of time.
Well, I agree with all of that. The avoidance of the reappraisal by corporations who manipulate the tax laws. And it's actually not Proposition 13 that created the situation that you described.
Oh, yeah?
It's the definition of a sale. Proposition 13 says you reappraise on sale.
Uh-huh.
Well, the legislature, and I was there at the time and I was concerned about it at the time, defined a sale in such a way that it gives a huge loophole to corporations that are being sold, bought, or acquired.
Right. Yeah.
In that they, if the majority ownership it doesn't change hands.
Right. John, I'm out of time. I got to run here, but thank you very much, and keep working on the situation and out the Republicans for their attempt at minority rule.
Let's do it.
All right. Thank you, John Garamendi, California's Lieutenant Governor.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Don't pat me, bro. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. Daniel Sheehan is a San Francisco 49ers fan. And in 2005, he was told to submit to a pat-down search at the gate. And not just him, his 5-year-old grandson was told to spread his arms, and he got patted down too. And then it hit him. This was wrong. We're living in the United States of America. This is invading my right to privacy. And so he sued. And now it's gone to the California Supreme Court.
Having to stand with your arms outstretched while some stranger runs his hands all over your body is a very intrusive act.
That's Ann Brick, one of his lawyers. Well, lots of luck. Yes, this is America, but privacy is no longer part of the deal. Search to the football game? My fellow searchees, we are not just patted down at football games. We are scanned, X-rayed, unshod, debelted, sniffed, eavesdropped on, satellite tracked, seat belted, Bluetooth, webcammed, passworded, Googled, everywhere we go. Privacy? In the age of Facebook? In the age of Twitter, when somebody eating a pork chop can trigger an alert? I expect in a few years that last night's dreams will be online. Sheehan thinks that the pat-downs have nothing to do with terrorism, but with people bringing in outside beer. Well, maybe so, but that's because it's unauthorized outside beer. You need a concealed beer permit for that. And as the NFL lawyer says, if you don't like it, tough.
If you think that security's too much for you, you can stay home.
Yeah, stay home and freshen your Twitter updates. Now this.
Whether you run a small business or a big enterprise, you face similar IT challenges every day, including network security, user productivity, network and application performance, and data storage and email retrieval. That's why over 70,000 businesses like yours count on Barracuda Networks to solve these challenges.
Right out of the box, without IT expertise, at a price that any business can afford.
Call 888-ANTI-SPAM for a free 30-day trial of any of our security, productivity, or storage appliances.
That's 888-ANTI-SPAM.
Or see for yourself at Barracuda.com.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Sometimes things just make sense.
Sure, like buying a scooter when gas prices go crazy.
Or putting sharp business equipment in your office.
How does that make sense?
It makes sense to have the number one digital copier in America working for you, right?
Sure.
Well, that's how it makes sense.
I get it, but...
Here, try this.
Since 1981, this family-owned business has been about one thing, results, which is why Tri-County Business Systems is a Sharp dealer. Sharp is technology-driven, featuring OSA, Open Systems Architecture. You can customize applications that promote efficient workflow. And because they're built to last, your total cost of ownership is reduced for long-term results. If you're you're a QuickBooks user, Sharp's OSA system allows you to quickly scan directly into your client's folder right from the machine. So call Tri-County Business Systems at 758-1474 and learn more today. Tri-County Business Systems, 758-1474. Solutions that connect with you. Tri-County Business Systems.
If you transfer your IRAs, 401ks, or any retirement accounts today, we will add 10% to your full account value. $100,000 becomes $110,000, $400,000 becomes $440,000, and $700,000 becomes $770,000. My name is Stephen DeJohn, president of the DeJohn Advisory Team. I was on the cover of Senior Market Advisor magazine because I protect my clients' money, and I can guarantee an income for life. We don't recommend stocks, mutual funds, or variable annuities. These are risky securities. With securities, you have unlimited upside, but you also have unlimited downside. Our clients do not lose money in negative markets. Do you have a multi-generational IRA? Why not? It's been your right since 2001. Don't let Uncle Sam be your biggest beneficiary because your broker or banker is sleeping at the wheel. Call us right now at 866-515-6669 to receive your free video and brochure. We will then set up your free IRA and retirement checkup at one of our nationwide locations. Call 866-515-6669. It's a new year and it's time for change. Call 866-515-6669.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
Just 13 more days.
We're going to make it.
We got a president so bad, gotta be the worst we ever had. Got the job 'cause of his dad, now we're all in danger.
Jeb's not gonna run for Senate, that's good news.
Come around, up to no good, broke the old treaties 'cause he could. Struts all around like a hood, got us in a world of trouble. Put him in a straitjacket, there's no doubt, let the psychiatrist figure him out. Listen while the demonstrators cheer and shout, we'll all feel better in the morning.
Yes, just 13 days of the Bush-Cheney rule, and I can hardly wait. Joining me now is the amazing Tim Carpenter, the fastest-talking, hardest-working progressive organizer in America today. He's a national chair or a head of the Progressive Democrats of America, their website, pdamerica.org. Tim, how are you doing today?
Peter, good evening. We're doing all right. A lot going on. How are you holding up? How are things out on the West Coast?
We're doing all right. We're drowning in red ink in California, and we've got minority rule Republicans blocking any effort to raise taxes to try to solve the problem. And we're about to run out of cash, so we'll be asking you for a bailout in February. I hope you'll save up your coins.
It sounds like when I used to be out there, I go back to the Mervyn Dimerly, Mike Curb days. I heard you just had the lieutenant governor on. It sounds like things are upside down in California as they are across the country right now.
Yeah, John Garamendi is a better lieutenant governor than Mike Curb was. He's never had a hit record.
No, just more cows, not as many hit records.
Well, Tim, I've got some breaking news here that I want to share with you and talk about as we kick off our conversation just during the break.
Better be good, Peter.
I pulled up an email from my buddy Jason Leopold, who publishes at the nonprofit journalism site called Public Record, pubrecord.org. And he reports, it's the first I've seen, that John Conyers, the chair of the House Judiciary Committee, has proposed creating a blue ribbon panel to probe the broad range of policies pursued by the Bush administration, and he has proposed the title as the National Commission on Presidential War Powers and Civil Liberties. Now, I haven't seen the details here, and next hour we're going to talk with Republican Bruce Fein, who is still calling for a censure resolution to be passed against Bush and Cheney. But I regard this as an important first step by Conyers. Do you think there is support among the members of the House and the Senate, and more importantly among the leaders, leadership for a full-throttled investigation of these past misdeeds?
Well, we can only hope so, Peter. As you know, we've been working 3 years now since the After Downing 3 minutes broke, and it's time. As you were counting down 13 days to go, we still have time to get going. We know that Congressman Conyers, in his heart of hearts, wants to move forward. He wants to cauterize all of these abuses to make sure the Judiciary Committee investigates them so that when the Obama administration begins to take over, that we can begin to put in place the laws to prevent the new administration from moving with warrantless wiretaps and illegal wars and so forth. And our hope is that the support's there. We've got our person in the Judiciary Committee, and as you know, in Congressman Wexler, we know that Keith Ellison's there, Maxine Waters.
Yeah.
I remain ever vigilant and ever optimistic that Congressman Conyers will move in the right direction. We've known now for almost 6 months in meeting with him behind the scenes that the staff has been working very hard to put in place something before this administration, before the clock runs out. So we're very, very hopeful. We have a call tomorrow night within PDA to keep the heat on, to keep the stop the pardons and keep the accountability clock ticking on the Bush administration. So you know me, I remain very optimistic, and I'm hopeful that we can give Congressman Conyers the support he needs. And as you've said, most importantly, to finally get the Speaker's attention and the majority of Democrats to step up behind Robert Wexler and Keith Ellison and move now to hold this administration accountable in the closing days.
And I have the long-term forecast for Washington for January 20th. It's going to be frigid with heavy showers of pardons.
Well, we were looking on New Year's Eve. I'm sorry, we were looking on Christmas Eve for the beginning of that,
yeah,
given the Cap Weinberger pardon and so forth. So, yeah, no, we definitely have to, you know, with the work that you're doing, the tireless beating of the drum, to remind folks that, you know, this administration is capable of anything in the closing days, and we shouldn't be surprised. And lots of good activists around the country are working, prepared, ready to go. Congressman Nadler is working inside the Judiciary Committee. There's a lot of effort to make sure we have that spotlight on and really let folks know what this administration will be up to in its closing days.
And I've said this before, and I'll say it again, I want my Fourth Amendment rights fully restored.
As we all do, Peter, we're going to, you know, hold Obama to the same candle and hope that this Congress, the 111th Congress, will begin to do what they've been elected to do and begin the process of oversight, investigation, and accountability. And we have to remain ever vigilant, as I said, and make sure they perform their job. And just as you said, I'm just as anxious as you are to see Congress assert its role again.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it'll be very interesting to see, but you and I have discussed this on many occasions over the past year. Our job doesn't end on January 20th. We don't just go to a parade and wave and say, okay, Barack, you and the guys and gals, take it from here.
No,
we're going to need to keep the pressure on. And just one example, Tim, that I discussed a couple of hours ago with Jonathan Haffetz from the American Civil Liberties Union. We have oodles of bad laws that were packaged in the Patriot Act. We have the power grab that the FBI just imposed on December 1st of this past year. Essentially no-knock warrants that they can issue themselves. And we really need to restore our full civil liberties, civil rights, and privacy rights in this country. And we've seen that the Democrats, including my senior Senator Dianne Feinstein, are ready to trade them away for next to nothing.
Well, there's so many issues, Peter, when you talk about January 20th. We have been busy, Progressive Democrats of America, since the election, I think, more than we were leading up to the election. And we were pretty busy. We were going flat out 24-7. And since then, not only in the civil liberties front, whether it be single payer, redeploying troops into Afghanistan, or now the disaster that we're watching unfold in Gaza, we've got a lot of work to do. PDA, we're going to be on the ground starting Friday before the inaugural, beginning on the night of the 16th. We're going to distribute 500,000 flyers to call on this administration to end the occupation and redirect military spending to meet human needs. We're going to be meeting on Saturday and Sunday at the University of the District of Columbia to put together a forum to talk about these issues specifically on how we organize ourselves across the country to really mobilize our Congress members to stand up, as you said, for civil liberties and, as we said, to continue the fight to bring our troops home, not redeploy to Afghanistan, but to bring them home and to begin the work of single-payer repeal of the Patriot Act. So for us within PDA, we're going to be at the inaugural, not at the parades. We're going to be meeting strategically for 3 full days to discuss how we move all this forward.
Yeah, and in there you mentioned Afghanistan, and that's a hot button with me right now. I was pleased that in Monday's New York Times, Bob Herbert wrote what I think is one of the first op-eds I've seen in recent memory, challenging this notion that we can fix Afghanistan by expanding the occupation and putting more American troops as targets in a country that doesn't have a central government to speak of, doesn't have a meaningful military, and will return to warlord rule whenever we leave.
No, it's clearly a quagmire, Peter. And Progressive Democrats of America, we've been very focused, as you know, since we gathered in Denver. Norman Solomon was on C-SPAN, I guess, almost a month ago when we heard the first reports. This administration, incoming administration under Barack Obama's leadership, is prepared to deploy 20,000 troops immediately into Afghanistan. And as you said, it's a very unstable region. We need to stabilize the border. We need to talk about diplomacy and nonviolent means to bring about peace in that region. More troops, bombing of Pakistan is not going to do that. And those of us in the Progressive movement, we have to stand strong, because when Barack Obama announces that he's redeploying troops out of Iraq, we need to understand they're not coming home. They're going over to Afghanistan, as you said. Talk to the Russians about what that means in real terms and what a quagmire it's going to be.
Yeah. And, Tim, we can't give short shrift. We've been providing a lot of coverage of the situation in Gaza over the last few days. And while I do understand Obama's position that we only have one president at a time, I do believe that we should be hearing some articulation from the Obama transition team as to their posture toward this conflict and toward what I consider to be the very heavy-handed response of Israel and the disproportionate number of deaths of Palestinians and the huge number of civilian casualties.
Well, I can't agree with you more, Peter. We were on the phone last night with Progressive Democrats of America activists around the country who comprise what we call our issue organizing team around ending the occupation. We normally have 15 to 20 people. We consider that to be a good call. Last night there were 49 folks. Folks couldn't even get on the call who wanted to be part of it. Regardless of what Barack Obama is not doing or should be doing, where is the Democratic leadership, as you said at this point in time, certainly tonight when we see the continuing bombing that's going on, regardless of how it began and where we are, the reality is we've got to begin humanitarian aid, an immediate ceasefire, and just cool the region down and begin to get back to the diplomacy that we so desperately need in that region. And I hope, as you said, that Barack's not going to wait these last 13 days. He needs to speak out now. The international community does, and we need leaders in Congress. I've been combing the Internet today, and Dennis Kucinich seems to be the only member of Congress right now that's really stepping out to call for what we need, and that is an immediate ceasefire. We need to get both of the borders secure in Egypt and through Israel to get humanitarian aid in there. Anybody who saw the footage of the bombings of the refugee centers yesterday, it's appalling. Regardless of who began it and who escalated it, the reality is the fighting needs to stop. The bombing needs to cease. We need a nonviolent solution and a cooling off period immediately, and we need leadership both in Washington, and we need to continue as activists to take the heat to the streets. And if you look across the country, there's unprecedented numbers of people. This is a real opening now to really look at this question, and unfortunately, the human toll that it's costing us.
Yeah. And also, the media in the initial days was pro-Israel all the way. They have permitted dissenting voices and pro-Palestinian voices to be heard, both in news columns and op-eds over recent days. I think it's getting a little bit better. But we really need to see that the corporate media in this country is quite captive to the interests of AIPAC and the Israeli lobby. And, we need to shift that. And this is another area where Obama needs prodding. Because just last April, he went to AIPAC and basically declared his loyalty. And we need a more nuanced and balanced approach. And I'm also not so sure that the appointed Secretary of State represents that. Certainly Hillary Clinton has the aura of Bill's legacy as a peacemaker in that region. But her own hawkish statements since she entered the United States Senate kind of offset that.
Well, yeah, there's a lot there, Peter. What you just said, it's very important. I was just watching last night the Larry King show while I was listening to my radio and waited almost a good 40 minutes until Jim Zogby from the Arab American Institute was allowed a 10-minute opportunity. There is a little bit of an opening, but we have so much work to do in the corporate media, and we're hearing now that Congressmember Berman is getting ready to propose a resolution now in Congress that'll be very slanted. It's important that we mobilize across the country and bring to the airways the knowledge of when this vote happens so that the alternative voices are heard, and we're going to mobilize to do that. And as you said, there is a small opening, there is a small window, but without shows like yours and other progressive media, we really don't have the full picture of what's happening in the Gaza. And I'm grateful for what, in the last couple of days, the courage that many journalists are showing just to get the word out of the region to let folks know truly what's going on there. And as you said, I don't know where to start tonight. It's very disturbing to see the silence, as you said, of the Obama administration and within our own party at this point in time. And, kudos again to Dennis Kucinich and those few brave members of Congress that are willing to stand up to AIPAC and that voice. And just as a humanitarian ask for a cease of, as we said earlier, we've got to begin that process to get the aid in there for those that have been the victims of this shelling and to begin the humanitarian aid immediately and get on with that ceasefire.
Well, and Jim Zogby, who you mentioned from the Arab American Institute, will be joining us in about half an hour. So
please say hi to Jim. One of the things we're proudest of within Progressive Democrats of America, we were born and launched, as you know, Peter, 4 years ago, and we haven't been afraid to say the P word in Palestine. We weren't afraid to touch the third rail until we have a real solution that brings about a two-state solution in that region and really recognizes the human rights of those Palestinians and others in that region. And Jim Zogby, I can't think of a better voice. I was fortunate enough to meet Jim Zogby almost 20 years ago now or more when he spoke at the Democratic National Convention in 1988. He was the deputy campaign manager for Reverend Jackson. And Jim Zogby has lit the torch of human rights in that region and has been just a stalwart proponent and activist in leading that effort. And we're very proud. As you know, he was with us in Denver when we did our progressive gathering, and he's been with us since we launched in Roxbury 4 years ago. I can't think of a better guest, so please give him my best wishes and tell him I said hi. And I hope he'll join us next week when we're out in D.C.
Okay, certainly will. Tim, stay with us for another segment, and this just came over the email here. Joe the Plumber is going to go to Gaza to try to pose as a journalist. Now, the Israelis aren't letting real journalists in. Are they going to let Joe Wurzelbacher in? Oh, my God.
Well, get Jim Zogby there. Stay in a second. Thank you.
All right, we'll be right back with Tim Carpenter, Progressive Democrats of America, pdamerica.org, on the web thing. Joe the Plumber, come on. Stay in Ohio. It's the PBC Show.
You're listening to KRXA 540.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Fia Kareem with your KRXA 540 AM traffic and weather report. Right now on County Road G16, just west of Rancho San Carlos Road, a motorhome is disabled and blocking lanes. CHP is on the scene there. And on Highway 68 at Toro Road, there is a green plastic crate in the roadway, so use caution there. Taking a look at Santa Cruz, we have a collision with no injuries on Graham Hill Road at East Zionte Road. And weather, your forecast for this afternoon is mostly clear with temperatures in the upper 50s and the lows in the lower 40s. Sunset is at 5:07 p.m. tonight. That's your traffic and weather on AM 540. Have a fantastic afternoon and keep it locked on the Peter B. Collins Show.
What would life be without flowers? It would be like a birthday cake with no candles, a wedding with no ring. It would be like a graduation without friends and relatives, a promotion without a raise. Thankfully, life is full of flowers and reasons to give them. In fact, sometimes the best reason is no reason at all. And all you have to do is stop by or call Ferrari Florists and Gifts. You see, flowers from Ferrari Florists and Gifts are more personal and special because whatever you're celebrating, we can create unique arrangements from a wide selection of fresh-cut flowers, and we can deliver them the same day, so you can enjoy life and even declare your love with flowers. Call Ferrari Florists and Gifts today at 460-7000. Or visit our website at www.ferrariflorist.com, and we'll help you realize the true potential of flowers. Ferrari Florists and Gifts, 514 Front Street, Santa Cruz, experts in the art of expression.
Hi, this is Hal, and you're listening to KRXA 540. Just wanted to let you know about some of our recent schedule changes. First of all, we are playing basketball from Cal State Monterey Bay and Cal Berkeley this year. So if your favorite program is interrupted, we apologize, but you can catch all of our talk shows in full on the Internet at their regularly scheduled times at KRXA540.com. In addition, we are now playing Ed Schultz live from 10 to noon. We play the first hour of Ed 8 to 9 p.m., and we play the entire Tom Hartman show 9 to midnight, Monday through Friday, with the exception of Thursday, when we start Tom Hartman's show at 11 in the evening and run it through 2 in the morning. Thank you so much for listening to KRXA 540 and on the Internet at KRXA540.com.
Got the Peter B. Collins Show in your ear coming up about 15 minutes away. I feel a panic attack coming on. That would be a live report from Tommy Panic, our low-budget, in-depth, undercover investigative reporter. All I know is he's in Washington, D.C., and he's got something on Die 5.
Guys dressed in black, remember that, just in case we ever face to face and make contact. The title held by me, M.I.B. means what you think you saw, you did not see. So don't break me, what was dead is now going black. With the black gray bands on.
And an imminent translation for our listeners in Boston, Die 5 is left coast slang for the senior senator from California. A dino, if there were one. And let's turn to Tim Carpenter of Progressive Democrats to define the term dino.
Democrat in name only. I think she redefines it.
Oh, too often she does. All too often. And I, frankly, kind of enjoyed seeing her getting her bloomers all bunched up because the Obama transition team didn't consult her about naming a guy who's against torture to run the CIA instead of the insider that she was promoting, Steve Kappas.
Yeah, no, it's amazing. Both her and Senator Rockefeller did her about turn here in the last 24 hours. But, yeah, I think it was a subtle way, maybe the Barack Obama administration, hopefully, to let them know that it's not going to be business as usual. That's one we can hope for.
Yeah. Yeah, very interesting. Tim, I wanted to acknowledge that Progressive Democrats of America was named by The Nation magazine as Progressive Organization of the Year. And you and your team have worked tirelessly, and I just congratulate you because you really deserve it.
Well, Peter, thanks so much. It's a real honor. Last year, John Nichols has been very good to PDA, and he stood with us in Denver, stood with us on the impeachment call, and of all the organizations that are doing good work, to be singled out is a real honor, and we take it in the spirit that it was given. You know, we're part of a larger movement. We're honored to work with you and other progressives around the country, and we hope in a small way we're making a difference, and to get that kind of acknowledgement is very humbling, and we're very appreciative, and thank you.
Well, and from my own perspective, Tim, I really think that you have operated in a very novel and brilliant way, and you've helped coalesce and build networks of people who care very deeply about progressive issues. And you've done it in a way that I think is more powerful than Move On, even though you probably haven't raised as much money.
No, that's for sure.
And you blend the activism and the policy approach with a kind of inside-outside strategy that helps you embrace Democrats and move them in a progressive direction, as opposed to simply using confrontational tactics that generally don't go very far.
Well, Peter, thank you. We've really struggled these last 4 years. When we began, a lot of people didn't think we would survive. Tom Hayden especially was with us when we launched, said he gave us about 6 weeks at the most. And we're very honored. We believe that Progressive Democrats of America, we are part of a larger movement. And we come out of the social movements. All of us have been active, whether it be the anti-war movement, civil disobedience that many of us have done, the civil rights movement, environmental feminism. Whatever issue it might be, we know at the end of the day, if we don't bridge our work inside the political arena, we will not succeed, whether it be any great social issue, whether it started out in the streets. It's got to end in Congress, all the way from women's right to vote from Seneca Falls to the 19th Amendment to ending the Vietnam War to Congressman Bill Abzug cutting the purse strings to Martin Luther King starting, you know, with Rosa Parks and the bus boycott, ending with the 13th and, you know, the work that he did in 63 for the Civil Rights Act and sitting in the Rose Garden with President Johnson, that we've got to bridge those. So we're very proud of the work that we've done, and I think now after 4 years, people have begun to understand PDA. It's not just growing PDA. It's, as you said, we are part of a larger movement. We all have to work collectively and move cooperatively together for the progressive movement to succeed. Each of us individually can't accomplish what we need to do. We've got to come together. We believe very strongly in PDA, and we think we have carved the niche for us, is that every congressional district has to have what we call a chapter or a true squad, or those that are on the ground that are plugged into Washington. The work originates at the grassroots. If we can get and succeed in 435 chapters in every congressional district in the coming year, we will have in place a mechanism and a movement that will allow us to move, as you said, both inside and outside Washington. We can bring about the street heat, ground it in our communities, and make sure those 72 members of Congress who understand, who are progressives. We forget sometimes in the frustration of the work we do day in and day out. There are 72 members of Congress who believe like we do. But just electing Democrats, we learned 2 years ago, we're about to learn again, just electing a Democratic president won't do it. Until we elect a governing progressive Democratic majority that's rooted in citizen activism in every congressional district, we got a lot of work to do. And we're honored in doing that work, and we're honored with the folks that have stepped up to be a part of it. There's over 160,000 activists today that are part of the PDA movement, and we're very honored. And we're honored with the opportunities you have given us, you and Tony Trupiano, I can say, were early on who understood us, and we thank you. And we accept this award and the nation and the acknowledgement that we get on your behalf as well, and thank you for all that you're doing.
All right. Now, with all that behind us, how about our health care reform?
Well, we got a lot of work to do, Peter. I mean, right now, this movement is the single-payer guaranteed health care movement. As you saw in Denver, we succeeded in getting the Democrats against their own will to acknowledge that we have to move as a party for guaranteed health care. The rub comes in, how do we get there? We believe that through H.R. 676, the bill that was authored by John Conyers, that Dennis Kucinich made a linchpin of both his presidential run, single-payer health care, so that we can redirect military spending to get on with the work of helping those 47 million Americans tonight that have no health insurance. The 22,000 have died this past year because they have no health insurance. We have to move collectively to let our elected officials know I'm from Massachusetts, and those in Boston that are listening know that the plan that we have in Boston and in where I am in Western Massachusetts and in the state of Massachusetts is simply not working. An incremental approach to the health care crisis will not move us in the direction we need. We need a bold, sweeping reform, just as Harry Truman promised us over 40 years ago, and Franklin Delano Roosevelt began a single payer. And that's the struggle. That's why we're going to be on the ground next week, regardless of what the temperature is. We're going to be leafleting from Maryland to Northern Virginia throughout the District of Columbia. Our leaflets calling on this Congress and for Barack Obama to get back to what he once said, and that is to move this country for single-payer health care. So for us, that's the paramount issue right now. We've got to bring the troops home. We've got to cut the military budget. We've got to get this global economic mess straightened out, and we've got to get on with the work of making sure that every American has guaranteed health care.
And we need to reassure Obama and the Democrats that they can ignore those calls from the right-wingers in the corporate media not to overreach. What they need to do now is not be timid, not be cautious, and you just said not be incremental. And if we're going to run a $1 trillion deficit plus, then let's fix the health care system too, because long-term that will save us a bundle of money, and it will save manufacturing and other job sectors in this country.
Absolutely, Peter, and I hope next week I can tell you confidentially, and those that might be listening, that there will be hopefully a report ready by next Thursday. We're going to unveil it in Congress, and I'll make sure you get an advance copy. We're going to take the whole argument of the single payer being an economic brain drain and an economic drain on the economy and turn it on its ear. It's an economic stimulus program.
Tim, I can't wait to see it, but I'm out of time right now.
All right, buddy.
Thank you, brother.
Peter.
We'll talk again real soon. Happy New Year, too.
Happy New Year, Peter. Thanks for the chance.
Tim Carpenter, PDAmerica.org.
Baskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. I've created a special offer for you to try my French wines made from organically grown grapes. For a limited time, when you buy 2 bottles, you get 1 bottle free, and I'll even pay for the shipping. I know you love the taste of these handcrafted wines from my ancestors' lands, especially French wine delivered to your door for less than $12 a bottle. I've made this free wine and free shipping offer available to you because I believe you'll become a lifelong customer once you've tasted our wines. The French Bouquet Collection at ecowine.com includes my red Chateau Véronique from Languedoc, my white Viognier, and my Blanquette de Limoux sparkling wine. All French, organically grown, and affordable.
For free delivery, click on ecowine.com/Peter B. That's ecowine.com/.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. High water in many parts of Washington state after record snowfall and heavy rain. 62 highways are closed by flooding, and officials say Interstate 5 at Centralia will be completely underwater tonight. More from KIRO Radio's Heather Bosch.
Word to the wise.
Don't go back there unless you have a boat.
The rising Issaquah Creek prompted people in about a dozen homes just in this neighborhood to self-evacuate.
We have kind of a wall and sandbags, but it's breached that. But my mom lives by the creek, and my husband just came down to get her out. The driveway is totally flooded.
I got to go get my family, though, get them out of there.
We're on our last few minutes, so we got to get going.
They say they've seen flooding here before, but not like this.
Never. Never in my life.
Heather Bosch for CBS News, Issaquah, Washington.
Similar problems in the opposite corner of the country. CBS News correspondent Jim Krasula has that.
Drenching rains across much of the South caused flooding, prompted school and road closures, and caused a mudslide that destroyed a home near Asheville here in North Carolina. Howling winds gusting to 60 miles per hour have toppled trees and power lines, disrupting electricity to tens of thousands of homes and businesses.
Israeli helicopters keep the pressure on the Gaza Strip, with fighting continuing today after a break to deliver humanitarian supplies. There's hope for an end to the violence that's claimed hundreds of lives. Egypt says representatives of Israel, the Palestinians, and Hamas will be in Cairo tomorrow for technical discussions on a ceasefire proposal. Roland Burris is back in Chicago this evening, but says he expects to be seated in the U.S. Senate very shortly. Senate leaders initially turned their backs on Governor Rod Blagojevich's appointee, but today their opposition softened. They had a friendly meeting with Burris on Capitol Hill. At the White House today,
how are you guys?
The guys were all the living former presidents of the United States, Carter, Bush, and Clinton, invited by the incumbent, George W. Bush, to share their wisdom at lunch with President-elect Obama.
I just want to thank the president for hosting us. This is an extraordinary gathering. All the gentlemen here understand both the pressures and possibilities of this office.
President Bush said they all wished him the very best. Federal food detectives are on the trail of a salmonella outbreak in 42 states. Reporter Sabrina Gibbons has details.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention tells me that at least 388 people have been infected.
Don't know the source of the outbreak. We are working very vigorously with our public health partners in these states to identify the specific foods or food that may be causing this outbreak.
The CDC's Lola Russell says about 18% of the people infected have been hospitalized. While the source is unknown right now, the CDC says poultry, cheese, and eggs are the most common source of this particular strain. Sabrina Gibbons for CBS News, Atlanta.
The prospect of easing tensions in the Middle East sent oil lower, down nearly $6 to $42.88 a barrel. But the stock market is worried about the economy going forward. The Dow lost 245 points to close at 87.69. This is CBS News.
Marcia, what's with the grin?
I got great news at my savings checkup.
Your what?
The savings checkup I took at the Sam's Club Pharmacy. I found amazing prices on my monthly prescriptions, and I discovered that members saved as much as 28% last year on select over-the-counter medications. Plus, Sam's Club takes most insurance, and pharmacy staff are available for questions.
Wow, I've got to check that out. Discover your prescription for terrific value. Visit your Sam's Club pharmacy Friday and Saturday to take the savings checkup. For more information, go to samsclub.com/yourhealth.
And now, another reason to switch to GEICO.
Instead of paying more for car insurance, you'd rather pay less. Call you crazy, but for some strange reason, you like saving money. And guess what? With things like money-saving rates, multi-car discounts, and good driver discounts, GEICO's always looking for ways to lower what you pay for great car insurance. Huh. Guess you can call us crazy, too.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
As tax revenue declines and demand for services rises, state governments are drowning in red ink. New York is losing more than $1 billion a month. CBS News correspondent Howard Arenstein reports.
In Albany, Governor David Paterson painted a dire portrait.
The state of our state is perilous.
But the story is similar from Sacramento to St. Paul to Tallahassee. The Center on Budget and Policy Priorities estimates 44 states will run deficits this year or next. That means cuts across the country on health care spending, education, and other services. And it also means new taxes.
Yes, we want to put a sugar tax on sodas.
Paterson is hoping that tax will help reduce New York waistlines while economic belts are tightened. Howard Arenstein, CBS News, Washington.
Paterson, who's legally blind and doesn't read Braille, memorized his hour-long State of the State speech. It took him 60 hours to learn it by heart. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Two drivers, two very different stories heading home on a dark evening.
I hit the open road.
A deer popped out of nowhere. I panicked.
I saw a deer in the road. I slowed down.
I jerked the wheel. I wish I could have seen it.
I drove around it and was home before the next song on the radio.
With Silver Star headlights from Sylvania, you'll see more of the road ahead. Remember, headlights dim over time. Replace them before you are left in the dark. Visit your automotive retailer and choose the whitest, brightest light. Silver Star headlights from Sylvania.
Reason number 48 to switch to GEICO.
As much as you enjoy the experience, you won't have to go to the post office. We can automatically debit your checking account or even charge a premium to your credit card. It's easy and you never have to worry about mailing your car insurance premium again. But we must warn you, you won't get to use any postage stamps. I hear they're coming out with some pretty cool designs.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Mm-hmm.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to this hour of the Peter B. Collins Show. My lines are open if you'd like to talk with us. Toll free. It's 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. In a few minutes, Jim Zogby is going to call in. He is the head of the Arab American Institute. And you heard Tim Carpenter talking about him just a few minutes ago. And later this hour, Bruce Fine returns, the principled Republican who defends the Constitution. We're going to talk about the op-ed that he published earlier this week, co-authored with Ralph Nader, calling for censure. That's not to censor somebody to keep them from speaking, but to censure, to reprimand Bush and Cheney by an act of Congress. We'll talk about that a little bit later this hour and tie it together with the news that John Conyers is planning a truth commission of some sort. What's the matter with that? Wait a minute. We got to get the right music up here because, ladies and gentlemen, I feel a panic attack coming on right now. Our in-depth undercover, low-budget investigative reporter, Tommy Panic, checks in from the 202 area code today. That's about all I know. He's in Washington, D.C. What up, Tommy?
God, I love it when you talk area code, Peter. I love it. Just 13 days, of course, till the inauguration or coronation or whatever you want to call it.
Right.
And, you know, everybody's getting ready for the big day, but there's so much going on. I mean, you've got the state of Illinois, I believe the former home of you.
Yeah, that's right. I lived in Illinois for many years, went to school and worked in radio there.
Beautiful. Well, the state of Illinois sharing their incompetence and shame with the rest of the nation, which is kind of nice. Opposition, of course, to the seating of Roland Burris, the former state attorney general in the Senate. It's actually starting to soften, and it appears, as you've probably been talking about, that he will be sworn into the chamber. And we hear that Governor Blagojevich will receive no cash, no political favors, but rather a lifetime supply of shampoo and conditioner and a live-in hair coiffer for appointing Roland Burris to the Senate seat. And, Peter, this scandal may ensnare some other prominent politicians, most notably the senator from California, Dianne Feinstein.
That's right. She was one of the first senators to go public saying we ought to seat Roland Burris.
Exactly. She kind of has weird hair of her own, and apparently she may be receiving some of the hair swag for her support. That is unsubstantiated at this point, but also the hot topic, Senator Feinstein, she is the Senate's incoming Intelligence Committee chair, slamming Barack Obama's choice of Leon Panetta as director of the CIA. She did that on Monday.
Yeah.
How dare they not consult with her?
Yeah, her bloomers were all bunched up behind her.
Yeah, her granny panties were in an uproar. She cited the lack of intelligence experience, which, come on, it's kind of a moot point, isn't it, when you talk about the CIA? Let's take George Tenet. He had experience. How did that work out?
Hey, let's take George H.W. Bush. He ran the CIA, and, well, as far as we know, he had no experience unless he was a secret agent in the true meaning of the term.
Exactly. But with Tenet, with Porter Goss, I mean, a guy who had CIA experience, and Porter Goss inherited a mess, but he did such a bad job that George Bush actually fired him. How bad of a job do you have to do to get canned by the president? He wasn't even speaking badly about the president. So basically, we're not too sure why Ms. Feinstein is so upset. She may have OD'd on the Metamucil. We're not sure. Now she's old, and obviously, Peter, that is no reason to bag on someone unless that old fogey is acting like a little baby. Now, as of right now, she's offered her support, as we know. Basically, she claims she's had time to go over the details, but it's more like she's figured out that it's not all that politically opportune for her to speak out against the anointed one. Kind of like how she was briefed on the Bush administration's interrogation tactics and had no concern until it was politically expedient. She reminds me a bit of Joe Lieberman going against the party's thinking just to prove she's different. She's a real hawk.
Yeah.
By the way, I'd take Feinstein over Lieberman if they fought.
How many rounds?
I think she'd take him out pretty quick. But listen to this. After the confusion of the whole Panetta appointment, from Feinstein's point of view, she has submitted a few requests to the president-elect to avoid any embarrassment in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Three specific things. She basically like a heads up anytime he heads to the little president's room. I mean, she heads a committee. She needs to know.
Yeah.
She'd also like to be part of the decision-making process in choosing the Obama's new dog for the White House. And also, she wants to make sure that she's there to give consent if President-elect Obama ever plans a disastrous war and needs the cover of, quote, intelligence experts like her. I mean, it comes down to the fact that she wanted Hillary, she got Obama, and now she's got to live with it or just retire. I mean, couldn't she at least identify with the agenda of her own party, the will of the people? Don't the people of California deserve a little bit better? But I hope to find out a little bit more about this. I am going to be visiting the salon where Senator Feinstein has her hair done.
Oh, my.
And try to find out a little bit more about the product that goes into the do and exactly where it came from. It sounds like I'm talking about John Edwards, doesn't it? You don't hear much about him anymore. But until we speak again, Peter, I am hot on the Feinstein trail.
All right. Well, Tommy, you have carved out a new exception, the baby exception to ageism, and it works. Thank you, Tommy.
Thank you, Peter.
It's Tommy Panic, live from the 202 area code in Washington, D.C., and covering stories the way nobody else does. 888-5 Peter B is my toll-free number. We're standing by for a call from Jim Zogby. He was on a train, and when he gets off the train, he's planning to call us. So that could happen at any moment. But in the meantime, your calls are welcome here. Any subject, any viewpoint, you can call from anywhere within the sound of my voice. And I want to make sure you know that during the holidays, I snuck in here to the Peter B. Collins secret studio and spent a couple of hours purging the Bush-bashing bookshelf. I removed about 40 books that I don't think I need anymore. I don't want to find a good home for them. And so anytime during the month of January or until we run out of books, when you call into the Peter B. Collins Show, either when I pick up your call or at the end of it, say, hey, I want a book. And I'll be happy to reach over to this box that I have conveniently situated to my left and offer you one or more titles from the box. You pick one, and eventually we'll mail it out to you. Probably at the end of the month, we'll do it all at one time. So that is my offer, to expand your reading list, to give you a free copy of a Bush-bashing book that was used on the Peter B. Collins Show. And I warn you, these books are used. There are pages bent. There are marks that I made, things that I underlined, little sticky notes that I put in there. And we're going to send them to you as is. We won't clean them up or try to fix them. And you can try to figure out what my marginal notes meant. And I will tell you there are no Ann Coulter books in the stack. So you don't have to worry about that kind of obscenity or pollution arriving via the U.S. Post. 888-5 Peter B is my number, 888-573-8372. You can also email Peter at PeterBCollins.com, himself at PeterBCollins.com, humble host at PeterBCollins.com, big mouth at PeterBCollins.com, or full of it also at PeterBCollins.com. You get the idea? We got Brett in Eureka, first to call the Free Speed Zone today. Hello, Brett.
Hey, honey. Good morning. How are you?
It's afternoon here.
Oh, absolutely. I just recalling this morning on CBS News.
Okay, what happened?
Okay, the fact is that if you're in a slump because you took all this money and spent all your time becoming a real estate agent,
yeah,
that there's a bright side. It's now that you're belly up,
uh-huh,
you can become a mortgage foreclosure analyst.
Wow.
And they said that on the news. That's the bright side to, you know, everybody's going to get a McDonald's job on CBS this morning.
Well, Brett, all up the ante. A couple of weeks ago on a major San Francisco station during the afternoon drive news, there was a commercial for the Central Intelligence Agency. And when I first heard it, I said, oh, well, you know, I guess my radio's on one of those liberal stations, and this is some kind of a spoof that Randy or somebody else is doing. And then I listened to the whole thing, and it was serious.
Reality.
And the CIA is hiring in the clandestine services. And if you like to, you know, sneak up on people and
dress up like a milkman.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
All of,
and own a white van.
Yeah. Oh.
Wanted to throw that one out there.
Thank you, Brett. All of those roles are available, and you can get paid by your government to go to foreign nations.
Can I say one more thing? Obama's a genius. He brought all these people that are sinister right into his circle. Because you know what? As long as they're standing beside you, they can't burn the files.
Well,
until he gets it figured out as to just what these creeps are up to, then he can kick them out. And everybody thinks, oh, my God, look at all these terrible choices he's made. I'll tell you what, you know, I've seen the files burned.
Well, Brett, there is a phrase from Lyndon Baines Johnson that we can actually say on the radio because George Carlin didn't use the term piss. And that is that Johnson said, well, I'd much rather have him in the tent pissing out than outside pissing in.
Exactly. So there's some beauty to this, but we just have to still hold him accountable for all these things, and I hope he signs pages and pages of these things that Bush has signed for the last month and just signs them over because he's the president. He can do that.
Well, we need a raft of executive orders. Bruce Fine's going to join us after the half hour, and we'll get his idea for an agenda of what can be accomplished early in the administration in the first week or so simply with executive orders, and then what else can be done using acts of Congress. So we'll discuss that coming up later this hour. Thank you, Brett.
I hope it's our heyday. Thank you.
Good to talk to you. 888-5 Peter B. The next segment's open for your calls. 888-573-8372. Brett, you still there? Oh, he hung up. I didn't know if he wanted a book or not. Brett, call us back if you want a book. You've earned one. Help us purge the Bush-bashing bookshelf and get ready for 2009 and the Obama-bashing books that are sure to arrive very soon. 888-573-8372, 888-5-PETER-B. You've got the Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to KRXA 540. The Grove Market in Pacific Grove has the finest selection of fresh local fruits, veggies, and meats. The Grove Market is also your first stop for delicious artisanal breads and other baked goods, and boasts an outstanding selection of Monterey wines. For competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey, shop at the Grove Market, Monday through Saturday, 8 to 7, 9 to 6 on Sundays, in downtown Pacific Grove. 242 Forest, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Can choice be saved? On Thursday, January 22nd, please join Planned Parenthood Marmonte in commemorating the 36th anniversary of the landmark Roe v. Wade decision. Join us for our annual luncheon, Can Obama Save Choice? Attorney Mickey Welsh will address these questions and more. The event will be held at the Hyatt Regency in Monterey on January 22nd from 11:15 to 1:15. Tickets are $25 for students and $35 for general public. For more information and to RSVP, please call Christina at 784-1109, extension 103. That's 784-1109, extension 103.
Hi, this is Sheila Gale with The Sheila Show, Saturdays from 3 to 5. For the next few weeks, college basketball will be airing during my show. So please, if you tune in on Saturdays and hear basketball, you can hear me on Sundays from 3 to 5. The Sheila Show, where we talk about everything and help you get through life's toughest challenges. The Sheila Show, brought to you by Cornerstone Wellness Center on Cass Street in Monterey. Remember, if you tune in and hear basketball from 3 to 5 on Saturday, I'll be on Sunday, 3 to 5. The Sheila Show.
Time to paint your house and protect your investments.
Custom painting.
Call Don Dickman Painting for a free estimate.
Don Dickman Painting, serving Monterey Peninsula and the Big Sur Coast. Quality paint jobs and green painting solutions are fast and affordable. Call 667-2144. For a free estimate, call 667-2144. That's 667-2144. I'm Don Dickman. When quality counts, let us protect your investment. You're in good hands.
With Don Dickman Painting.
We're at www.dondickmanpainting.com.
If you love KRXA 540, show your support for our radio station by placing a bumper sticker on the bumper of your vehicle. Click on the bumper sticker at KRXA540.com and think for yourself.
Good evening, everyone. This is Fia Kareem with your KRXA 540 AM traffic and weather report. Right now in Santa Cruz on Soquel Drive at Rio Del Mar Boulevard, there is a tree down in the lanes. And in Hollister-Gilroy, we have two traffic hazards. The first one is on northbound 101 just south of East San Martin Avenue. A large piece of firewood is in the number one lane. And on Route 25 at Pajaro River Bridge, there is a 3x4 chunk of metal in the westbound lane, so use caution there. And weather, it's going to be mainly clear tonight with lows in the 40s. On Thursday, we're looking at partly to mostly cloudy skies with a slight chance of rain. Highs will be around 60 degrees. That's your traffic and weather on AM 540. Have a great evening and stay with the Peter B. Collins Show.
Now I've been happy lately, thinking about the good things to come, and I believe it could be something good has begun. Oh, I've been smiling lately, dreaming about the world as one, and I believe it could be someday it's going to come.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, and if there is a peace train in Gaza, it is stalled in the station, and the U.S. and Israel aren't supporting imminent movement. And speaking of trains, Dr. Jim Zogby just got off a train and joins us by telephone. He is the founder and president of the Arab American Institute, and he's long been an advocate for balance in terms of the U.S. posture toward the Middle East, a co-founder of the Palestine Human Rights Campaign, and also Save Lebanon, among other efforts he's been involved with. Dr. Zogby, thanks for talking with us today.
Thank you, and that was one hell of a transition on the train issue. That was pretty good.
You like that? I bring you warm greetings from Tim Carpenter, who was on the show a little while ago.
Absolutely.
And I thank you for your support of Progressive Democrats. I think it's a great group
that is advancing
important issues and using some great strategies.
Thank you.
Tell me what your sense is of the current situation and how Americans can be heard in advocating for a ceasefire and for an immediate rush of humanitarian aid to Gaza.
Look, I've been dealing with this issue now for almost, maybe 35 years of my life. History shows that for America to be heard, it simply has to speak. Israel, its leadership is so sensitive to American opinion that if the president says stop, it stops. It may take a bit of time to wind down, but no more than a day. I mean, that has been the history. Reagan let Israel get completely out of control in Lebanon in 1982. Finally, after 3 months, he said to, didn't even say to Begin stop. He stared at him sternly across the White House desk.
Mm-hmm.
And the message got through in Israel, and it ended. And history is replete with examples of that sort. The fact is that this administration gave a green light in the beginning, goes silent early on, and the net result is that there is no restraint. And I wrote an article just recently, it was on Huffington Post last week, saying that from 1996, Bill Clinton let it get out of control a couple times in the 90s. And when I spoke with those in the Labor Party in Israel, I debated one on Crossfire, he said to me, we didn't want to do it, but we waited for the president to tell us not to. We needed that to strengthen us against our own right wing in our country. When the U.S. was silent, we had no choice. We didn't want to appear weak going into an election. So for whatever reason, and usually it's a bad one,
well,
Israel does these things. America can stop it by providing the restraint that's necessary. When we don't, the result is this situation.
And politically speaking, we have a bit of a perfect storm where Bush is at the lamest of lame duck status and isn't inclined to use any effort here anyway. And the Israelis are in the middle of easing out of the corrupt administration of Olmert, and we have three leaders jockeying for position, trying to out-hawk one another.
Right, and that's exactly the situation. I don't think that Bush going out of office is as significant as it might appear, because frankly he has taken the same posture. This is the fourth one of these on his watch,
yeah.
And the net result has been devastating across the region. In terms of America's standing, in terms of the loss of Palestinian life, most importantly, in terms of the setbacks that this has represented for the possibility of peace, no one, I think, in this country can understand the enormity of the pain felt in Gaza after the years of closure and of the brutality that's been visited upon this group of people. They certainly don't deserve the leadership of Hamas. They certainly don't. That is an awful gang of guys who have not been respectful of the needs of their own people and have themselves engaged in wanton provocation. But it is the occupying power, and despite the fact that Israel pulled out in 2005, they continue to be an occupying power because they control the access and egress to Gaza. There is no freedom. This is one of the largest, literally, concentration camps on the face of the earth.
Yes.
With 80% of the people totally dependent on international food aid.
And Dr. Zoghbi, let me jump in just about 45 seconds here. How do you suggest that we separate Hamas from our support of the human rights and aspirations of the Palestinian people?
Well, what you do is you create viable alternatives for people. You give them hope. When we polled in 2005, rather, when the elections occurred, we said the question, if you thought peace were possible, who would you vote for? 73% of those who ultimately voted for Hamas even said they would have voted for the other party. They didn't think peace was possible, and that's the choice they made. But if you don't give people an alternative, if you don't make them feel that there's hope at the end if behavior changes, then they have no recourse but to vote with their desperation, to vote with their anger, and to vote with the guys who promised them resistance, even though they know that that's not even a likely outcome.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when America doesn't promise hope, what you get is the guys like Hamas or the guys like Hezbollah. Or
Dr. Jim Zoghbi, Arab American Institute.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
There's more than one side to every issue. In fact, there's usually more than two sides. On Thursday nights from 9 to 11, we examine issues from every angle on our show called A Different Perspective. Sometimes we have guests bring a viewpoint that isn't often heard elsewhere. Other times, we'll discuss our different perspectives on the issue of the day. Either way, call in and give us your different perspective. Join us, Mark Leonard, Tony Rudy, Billy Sunshine, and me, Jack Hart, on A Different Perspective, Thursday nights at 9, here on KRXA 540.
Do you love KRXA 540? Show your support for our radio station by placing a bumper sticker on the bumper of your vehicle. Click on the bumper sticker at KRXA540.com and think for yourself.
Space, the final frontier. Knowing the truth, the ultimate frontier. Quantum Leap and KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
Go ahead. Take a deep breath.
Yep, there's nothing like that new car insurance smell.
I love it.
Want to take it for a test drive?
Sure.
Wouldn't it be great if you could test drive car insurance? Well, maybe you can.
Notice all the impressive standard features. Good neighbor service for extra comfort and stability. And look how great it handles around those hairpin turns in your budget.
Check out the company 40 million other drivers trust, State Farm. No one gives more discounts to more drivers, and nobody takes care of you like a State Farm agent.
Who's that?
That's your built-in security system, your very own State Farm agent.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Hey there, and who are those guys?
Oh, that's your award-winning claims department.
Wow.
So talk to a State Farm agent today and kick the tires on our car insurance. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I'm Justin Hamble, your Monterey Bay State Farm agent. Call me today at 831-688-3683. That's 688-3683.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
What would life be without flowers? It would be like a birthday cake with no candles, a wedding with no ring. It would be like a graduation without friends and relatives, a promotion without a raise. Thankfully, life is full of flowers and reasons to give them. In fact, sometimes the best reason is no reason at all. And all you have to do is stop by or call Ferrari Florists and Gifts. You see, flowers from Ferrari Florists and Gifts are more personal and special because whatever you're celebrating, we can create unique arrangements from a wide selection of fresh-cut flowers, and we can deliver them the same day, so you can enjoy life and even declare your love with flowers. Call Ferrari Florists and Gifts today at 460-7000 or visit our website at www.ferrariflorist.com. And we'll help you realize the true potential of flowers. Ferrari Florists and Gifts, 514 Front Street, Santa Cruz. Experts in the art of expression.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B. And be part of Peter B.'s America.
Music of the moment from Tears for Fears. The song is simply entitled Change. And certainly that was a great marketing theme and a slogan for the Obama campaign through the 2008 election cycle. But a lot of us are asking, what kind of change will we see? Particularly in terms of Obama's promises to return us to constitutional rule. Now, some of those promises are as vague as the notion of exactly what change means to you or me or any other American who sits back and says, well, here's what I'd like to see change. Bruce Fein and I come from very different political roots. He served in the Reagan administration in the Justice Department as a Deputy Attorney General. He also served at the Federal Communications Commission. And then in the late 90s, he was part of the impeachment team led by Ken Starr. But over the last few years, Bruce Fein and I have talked on many occasions, and we both agree that we need to restore constitutional rule and adherence to the Constitution by every American in this country after the deep abuses of the Bush administration. And I opened up my Monday morning San Francisco Chronicle to see a great op-ed piece co-authored by Bruce Fein and Ralph Nader, calling for a slightly modified approach to accountability for Bush and Cheney. Bruce Fein, welcome back to our program
today. Thank you for inviting me again, Peter.
Well, it's always good to talk with you. And before we get to your op-ed piece, I wanted to get your comment on a breaking story today, which is that John Conyers, who you testified before his Judiciary Committee back in August, has called for the creation of a National Commission on Presidential War Powers and Civil Liberties. Now, this to me is not a good substitute for impeachment. But just like your call for censure, We don't appear to have the will, the political will, for an impeachment process that could take place even today, even before Bush and Cheney leave office, if only to leave a public record of our rejection of their extremism. But what do you make of this proposal from Chairman Conyers today?
Well, I think it's well-intended, but deficient for a simple reason, and that is the assertions of executive privilege, secrecy, that can be expected from Bush and Cheney from any serious effort to examine what misrepresentations were made to obtain an authorization for war, what kinds of legal memos there were initially authorizing the illegal surveillance in violation of FISA, what was the justification still for detaining indefinitely persons without accusation or charge at Guantanamo or elsewhere. And Obama himself has not renounced any of these executive privilege claims. To me, made clear that one of these commissions would simply end up being stonewalled in the vital areas, and either you'd be litigating for the next 5 or 10 years up to the Supreme Court whether a former president or vice president contained privilege, and Obama probably not clear where he'd come out on that issue.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things to me, Peter, that's disturbing about Obama, and I don't want to say that maybe we could be proven wrong after January 20th, is that despite his claims that are look like they're motivated by expediency of saying, oh, we just have one president at a time when it comes to Gaza or other feisty issues, when it comes to bailout or taxes, he doesn't mind acting like a president right now. That is, he goes and he tells Congress what he wants for a stimulus package. Well, he certainly, if he takes that approach to Guantanamo, could go and say, I'm going to shut down the military commissions right now. I'm not going to detain anybody without an accusation or charge. He could already make his record if that's what he wanted to do. This is a pale excuse saying, well, I can't say anything until inaugural day, because he's saying lots of things in the areas where he wants to talk about them.
Well, you've offered the sharpest critique on that particular issue, and we've been talking to a lot of progressives and a lot of people who are striving for balance in the Middle East, seeing the U.S. tilt too far to Israel. But I really appreciate your direct remark there, because I do agree with you that Obama is ducking on a very controversial set of issues there. And I think there are ways that he could make public his views and his desires, for example, for a ceasefire, without really trotting on the current president's turf.
Of course. And that's often done if you think about during presidential campaigns, where both candidates running, say, against an incumbent who's leaving like Bush will say, well, they criticize the incumbent's policy in X or Y or Z, Afghanistan, Georgia, or elsewhere, or support it. And those candidates aren't inhibited by saying, oh, there's only one president at a time, I can't say anything. And that seems to me equally applicable if you're elected and you simply haven't been inaugurated yet, but everyone knows you're going to be there imminently, and no one believes that Obama isn't reading and thinking about these issues, and he's going to come on January 20th, tabula rasa, well, I haven't read the newspapers or thought about this issue for the last 3 or 4 months, we'd think that was irresponsible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, very well said. Now, what is your reaction in particular to the nomination of Dawn Johnson from Indiana University as head of the Office of Legal Counsel? That has been the locus where Jay Bybee, John Yoo, and other lesser-known people issued these tragically flawed opinions that were bad legal briefs. In one case, John Yoo cadged some verbiage from a health insurance policy. And so I want to know what you think, because this Dawn Johnson is a pretty sharp critic of the very legal opinions that came out of the Office of Legal Counsel, which I think you find equally problematic.
Yes, and let me disclose that was my first job at the Justice Department early on in my career, was in the Office of Legal Counsel. One of my first tasks was to write a monogram on what was an impeachable offense for Richard Nixon's administration. It hadn't been examined for 100 years since Andrew Johnson was impeached in 1868. So I know about the Office of Legal Counsel, but you have to remember that the Assistant Attorney General answers to the Attorney General. It was quite extraordinary that John Yoo was getting his instructions basically from the White House, David Addington, Cheney, or Alberto Gonzalez, and then Attorney General John Ashcroft was fenced out. So we have to think, all right, even if you wanted to assert certain kinds of doctrines, is that going to see the light of day? If the Attorney General or the White House counsel, who's Greg Craig, who is very close to the president, says no. And remember, these people are very politically close, certainly Craig is, to Obama, and could squelch things that an assistant attorney general might propose. That's not the high level of the decision-making on very, very important issues. I think that on the merits, I think the writings are very encouraging.
Mm-hmm.
There has been great skepticism about unitary executive, no checks during wartime on what the commander-in-chief can do and things of that sort. And it certainly will be important during the confirmation hearing to try to get pledges. The most important pledge, I think, Peter, for these individuals at the assistant attorney general level is, will you quit if on a serious constitutional question you're overridden and you think it's flagrantly wrong?
Mm-hmm.
And quit in a noisy fashion, not just go out, fade away like an old soldier or something.
And how do you rate Jack Goldsmith on that? He did quit. He wrote a book about it, but he didn't make a lot of noise on the way out the door.
No, he didn't. And in some respects, he's been very, I think, almost meek in denouncing what happened. He argues that these were not well-reasoned briefs and theories, but he doesn't argue, well, you actually, in order to deter the repetition, you need to punish them or sanction them in some way or other. I think you're right. It's an example, not the Elliot Richardson resigning or Bill Ruckelshaus resigning, but someone staying on and soothing their conscience by just criticizing in low octave, which is not what this kind of misconduct justifies. We need to remember that perhaps the worst crimes of all are those involving the executive privilege that conceals information from Congress relating to war and peace. Because there we're talking about not only enormous expenditures, but men and women's lives and what they are being required to risk for what. And that's something that's far more serious than many other kinds of misconduct that even Richard Nixon was found impeachable for, obstruction of justice, and trying to cover up what was then called the third-rate burglary.
Yeah.
And these things, you know, if you're not going to resign over an issue of conscience relating to that fundamental question of when and which right to go to war and mislead the people and the Congress over foreign danger, I mean, what would you resign on?
We're talking with Bruce Fine on the Peter B. Collins Show. I want to recommend his most recent book called Constitutional Peril, subtitled The Life and Death Struggle for Our Constitution and Democracy. He pulls no punches, and he writes, I think, very emphatically, as an American who believes in constitutional rule and who believes in the supremacy of the constitutional document. And it's something, again, where he and I fully agree, and that's why I bring him on the program. I want you to hear different people coming from different perspectives who share this commitment to restoring constitutional governance in this country. John in Carmel Valley, you're up here on the Peter B. Collins Show with Bruce Fine.
I want to compliment Bruce Fine, especially on remarks he made, I think the last time he was on, about the trepidations that the original founders had of what the chief executive might be capable in a bad way of doing. The problem is, I don't think they even remotely imagined that we'd have a Congress ever as supremely impotent and unwilling to do anything in the way of stopping the chief executive as we now have. How could that even remotely be constitutionally corrected or legally corrected? How can you make people who don't want to act, act?
Well, I think that's a very astute question, and the one that I struggle with, too. I go up to the members of Congress and say, you know, you're yielding your power. You have a duty. You took an oath to support and defend the Constitution. These are powers are being usurped from you. Do something. Say, no, the president should do it, or it's too hard, or, you know, it's a partisan issue or something like that. And what can you do? It's that they recognize that this is being done in an unconstitutional fashion, and but won't do anything. In some sense, they are impeachable, because members of Congress are subject to the impeachment clause every bit as much as the executive. In fact, the very first impeachment was against the Senator Blount. So you could impeach Nancy Pelosi for saying impeachment is off the table for Cheney and Bush forever. But that isn't going to happen because the members of Congress are not going to impeach one of their own. But really, the only ultimate remedy is for the voters to insist that when these members run for office, or candidates do, they insist on taking pledges. Will you impeach a president if he lies to you about going to war, whether he fails to hand over information that you need to make an intelligence decision? Will you impeach the president if he flouts the laws restricting his ability to spy or puts people in detention without accusation or charge? And you've got to make those litmus tests just like the NRA makes gun control tests. Then they will pay attention to you. But if you don't do that, they seem to relish yielding power and then standing as spectators and just criticizing the president for how he exercises it, and then by shouldering no responsibility think they can then duck from any challenger by saying, well, I didn't make any of the decisions that were wrong, it was the president's fault.
Well, and we also have to hold the public accountable, Bruce, because we have sat back and watched this, and too many have been silent. Too many refuse to confront Nancy Pelosi and say, you're wrong, and this is a constitutional violation of your own.
You're exactly right, and it's really quite stunning. You take San Francisco, or Nancy Pelosi's district covers, and here we have a speaker saying, I'm whiting out the impeachment clause for Cheney and Bush. I mean, maybe if she was whiting out the impeachment clause for Jesus and Muhammad and Moses or something, that's one thing. But for Bush and Cheney, what authority does she have to do that? And yet she runs, she gets reelected again by overwhelming margin.
Yeah.
I mean, what would she have to do to lose? If she can, does she have to then start whiting out the First Amendment, the due process clause?
We're going to take a break and return. John, thanks for your call today. 888-5-PETER-B if you'd like to talk with Bruce Fine. One more segment straight ahead. The Peter B. Collins Show.
Good evening, everyone. This is Fia Kareem with your KRXA 540 AM traffic and weather report. We currently have a couple of traffic hazards in Hollister-Gilroy. The first one is on Route 25 just north of Hudner Road, and on Highway 152 just west of Highway 156, there are large ceramic pots in the roadway, so use caution there. In weather, we'll have a few passing clouds tonight with lows in the 40s. Winds will be light and variable. Tomorrow we'll have a mix of clouds and sun in the morning, giving way to a few showers during the afternoon. Highs will be in the upper 50s. That's your traffic and weather on AM 540. Have a wonderful evening and stay with the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, I'm Debbie LaSala from LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli at 250 Casa Verde Way in Monterey. Buy Right has been a family-owned Monterey Bay treasure since 1938. Hungry for delicious sandwiches? Join the many LaSala regulars who love our tasty, hearty sandwiches prepared with fresh-baked Palermo bread. Eat in or grab on the run at LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli. Whatever your choice, we at LaSala's will greet you with Mon Pa hospitality and truly awesome meals. And remember, sandwich trays are also available for meetings and parties. LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli is located on the west side of Highway 1, exiting at 250 Casa Verde Way and going just past the first stop sign. For more information, call 372-6824. That's 372-6824. LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli. A Mon Pa treasure at your service for 70 years.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Cruz. Come listen to the new Jennifer Cruz Show, Saturdays at noon, where we will get into it, I-N-T-U-I-T. We'll talk about intuition, emotions, and passions, all the invisible aspects of each and every one of us that nobody talks about. The Jennifer Cruz Show is made possible by Weiland Galleries in Carmel and Water Me Well Inner Healing Apparel. Visit watermewell.com. See you Saturdays at noon on the new Jennifer Cruz Show. Remember, Saturdays at noon, only on AM 540. Get into it.
Rolling home with the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 9 minutes in front of the hour. Bruce Fine is my guest. His latest book, Constitutional Peril. Pick it up and read it, because he defines the crimes of the Bush era and the urgent need to correct the situation. And David is on the line from San Francisco. Welcome, David. You're on the air.
Hey, hi, Peter and Bruce. First of all, Happy New Year.
Same to you. And while we're chatting here, I just want to thank you for that CD you gave me at the conference in December. I listened to one of those air checks of a show you called into 15 years ago. It was great.
Oh, yeah. Did you give a copy to, was it Peter Laufer, right?
He owes me a drink, and when he coughs up, he gets the CD.
By the way, I guess we got another New Year's coming up here in another day or two, so, yeah, we're just beleaguered with them.
I guess so. What's on your mind, David?
Well, there were two different things. The idea that presidential pardons are only valid in America. So if war crimes, say, for example, are illegal internationally, a pardon that Bush would do regarding Iraq war would only be valid in America, but the people would still be subject to prosecution from afar.
Let me take your point and put it into a direct question to Bruce Fine, a constitutional expert. Bruce, if David Addington is pardoned by George W. Bush, is he still subject to jurisdictions outside the United States on war crimes issues?
Yes, the federal pardon power relates only to crimes within the jurisdiction of the federal government. It doesn't, for example, even relate to crimes within the jurisdiction of the states.
Mm-hmm.
So any foreign law could still apply to Mr. Addington if he received a full pardon by Bush.
Okay.
Yeah, good. And one last thing. It crosses my mind that Bush has been surrounded by Secret Service agents for a lot of his different crimes. Would they be, they can't in some way be held immutable from prosecution by their status as Secret Service? If they witness a crime, are they subject to being called as witnesses?
Well, there is a federal statute called the Misprision of Felony Statutes in Section 4 of Title 18, which basically says if you're a federal official and you know for certain that a felony has been committed in your eyes, then you're obligated to go to the nearest magistrate and report it. Very seldom, if ever, enforced. And you have to know that it's a felony. All the elements have been satisfied. It really requires knowing the state of the mind of the culprit. Certainly, Secret Service agents themselves are not immune if they participate in crime from being prosecuted. But surely, they could be called as witnesses to testify. You may recall in the Clinton impeachment case and the investigation, there are some Secret Service agents, I recollect, who were called to see when Monica Lewinsky entered the White House grounds or when she didn't. So they still can be witnesses even if they weren't the defendant.
Good. Appreciate it.
All right, David. Thank you. Happy New Year. And Stephen Salinas, you're next on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thank you. Yeah, I get a couple of things. I think one of the reasons that Democrats have been so spineless, well, two reasons. One, because of all the illegal spying that Bushies did, they knew everything about everybody in the Congress. And two, I think Pelosi and Reid and some other folks could be accused of complicity in some of their crimes. I would bet that they knew about the illegal spying long before it came out in the newspapers and a bunch of other stuff.
Well, Steve, that is complicated, Bruce, because members of, say, the Intelligence Committee or the so-called Gang of Eight who are briefed on these items, are they not bound by their security clearances and their commitments to confidentiality? What kind of remedies does a Jay Rockefeller or Nancy Pelosi have to expose illegal acts that were disclosed to them under top security clearances?
Well, remember, they take one oath, the only oath they take. support and defend the Constitution of the United States, which does not tolerate crimes by anybody. There's no security classification that can prohibit them from reporting a violation of the United States Constitution. Let them try to prosecute for exposing a constitutional violation, that would be ludicrous. So the argument that Jay Rockefeller and Nancy Pelosi, they told me not to tell anybody else, is silly on its face. Moreover, just to give you an example, Peter, it's protected by the speech or debate clause if any of these members in the course of legislative activity, including hearings, disclose classified information. That was an issue raised by Senator Mike Gravel's reading into the Senate committee, the Pentagon Papers, which were classified, and you may recall were the subject of Supreme Court decisions on trying to enjoin the publication of the Pentagon Papers by the New York Times and the Washington Post.
Mm-hmm.
And the U.S. Supreme Court said, once you're a senator, when you're disclosing information in the course of a legislative function, nothing can happen to you. So the fact is, they could have, if they wanted to disclose it, they could have just raised it in the course of a legislative activity, oversight, hearings, or otherwise, and they would have been shielded from any retaliation.
All right. Steve, anything else?
That's good. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for your call today. Now to Roy in Carmel by the Sea. Hi, Roy.
Yes. Hi. I'm interested in the two people you've just had, and I think from my observation, our Congress is, our system is broken because they're all subject to whoever's going to give them money, and they're all just like the governor in Illinois, they sell their vote for the money they get.
I think that's
elected.
Unfair because not everybody has Rod Blagojevich's hair.
I know, but the rest of them, you know, the Israelis have got control of them by the short hairs, and that was my one of my comments that the fellow before was
Jim Zogby
talking about Hamas, and in the Monterey Herald, a wise reader wrote, "Israel is to blame for the existence of Hamas," and that can't be any closer to the truth, as far as I'm concerned. Hamas is an organization that was put together to help the people in some respects before they became as violent, you know, to help with schools and training and all that stuff, to counteract the ongoing Palestinian Holocaust that the Israelis and the occupiers building houses and walls and the territory that's supposed to be the new state. I mean, how can anybody that cares about themselves or their people?
Okay, Roy, I hear you. I hear you, and you're welcome to call again and talk about that, but I want to close with Bruce Fine here. Bruce, what is the reaction to your call for censure? Have any members of Congress endorsed this?
There's been hesitation. Some of them endorsed it off the record, but they don't want to be the first on the block. I am talking to a couple of members that I think will introduce a censure resolution in the next week, but I don't want to disclose their names. But it is, I think, an emblem of the timidity and reticence of Congress that people think it's a bold step, you know, to just censure these flagrant constitutional violations. And you have to ask yourself, Peter, if what Bush and Cheney have done in manipulating the war power of the purse, secrecy, flouting the law with impunity, torture with impunity, if they aren't impeachable offenses or worthy of censure, what is?
We'll leave that question to linger.
You have to go kill your wife on the front of the White House lawn in order to get rebuked?
Bruce Fine, constitutional peril. Thank you, sir. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you, Peter.
Has your computer been slowing down? Are you having problems with your email? Or when you go to the Internet, is your browser taking so long to load that it seems like the worldwide wait? I'm Luke Ford, CEO of My Computer Works. We help people just like you with computer problems you can't fix. With one easy call, we can help you get your computer working the way you want it, speeding it back up, making sure you can send and receive emails, and making the Internet fun again. You'll speak to a U.S.-based technician who knows what they're doing, who can usually fix your computer on the very first call. If your computer's been slowing down, you can't get your email to work, your Internet's taking forever, or if you're not sure what's wrong, but your computer's just not working the way you want it, call My Computer Works, and we'll help you fast.
Call My Computer Works right now, toll-free, 888-629-9618. Tell them Peter B. sent you, 888-629-9618. One more time, 888-629-9618.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney.
Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice spent another day at the UN searching for a solution to the crisis in Gaza.
We believe a ceasefire is necessary, but it has to be a ceasefire that will not allow a return to the status quo.
Rice says the United States supports the proposal from Egypt and France, and she's been urging Israeli and Arab representatives to move the initiative forward. The bloody warfare continued today with a brief interruption. CBS News correspondent Mark Phillips reports.
For a brief while, it all looked hopeful. The bombs stopped falling and the people emerged to see what was left of their world. The Israelis called it a recess in offensive operations, but this was a recess in which nobody went outside to play. Instead, the besieged people of Gaza came out to get what they need to survive. A convoy of about 80 trucks loaded with relief supplies was allowed to enter the strip. And the Hamas militants promised that they too would hold fire and stop launching their rockets into Israel.
It was all over in 3 hours. Roland Burris, appointed by Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich, was turned away by Senate leaders yesterday, but today the mood changed. He had a pleasant meeting with Majority Leader Harry Reid. And returning to Washington this evening, or to Chicago this evening, Burris sounded optimistic.
The only thing I regret is not being able to walk on that floor with my colleagues and be sworn in. And that I look forward to in the very near future.
President-elect Obama reportedly has signaled that Burris should be seated. An exclusive club met for lunch at the White House today. CBS News correspondent Peter Mayer has the story.
It's a unique moment in history, a rare gathering of the current and soon-to-be president and their predecessors.
All of us who have served in this office understand that the office itself transcends the individual.
All the gentlemen here understand both the pressures and possibilities of this office.
Former Presidents Carter, Bush, and Clinton gave what an Obama spokesman described as constructive guidance on the pressure cooker job and the critical issues confronting the country and its next leader. Peter Mayer, CBS News, The White House.
More than 30,000 people have been told to evacuate their homes in western Washington state, where floodwaters are rising after record snow followed by heavy